This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Michael Payne on FUBAR Radio.
Straight from out the wilds of Turtle Island, where the fellas be building and the girlies be smiling. Hell of a thing when these worlds be colliding. They all sing jingle bells, complete with violent pedophiling. Rush hour traffic and human cargo to nowhere in a hurry during a truth embargo. It seems so odd though, how they so cocky with blatant disregard for life like Hiroshima Nagasaki. Watch it when we
drop the bomb. Drop the bomb. This is an arise, and we got
like they drop toxic napalm, or even one of the most prized possessions, the H-bomb. Guaranteed to kill for generations to come and degenerate their own civilizations to bunch of bums. And it's the same ones who started this calamity, turned right around and asked for amnesty, insanity. Doom representing Renan Squad, Kes, 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 bombing since yes, yes, y'all, and the Fresh Fest. Material greed, sick domination, straight pawn of Satan, hating. What is at the core of your defiance? You focus on destruction, you focus on science like the Mayans. Biker, it's time to pay the piper. So foul and rebellious, the sun don't even like ya. Homie, should've took the time to get to know me. Now I can't do nothing but watch you burn slowly. Fry.
Youth of the Apocalypse, or YOTA, I'm going to say, featuring MF Doom with Drop the Bomb. It's all very pessimistic, their whole angle. Youth of the Apocalypse, and then Drop the Bomb. Go on, fucking do it, you might as well.
Yeah, but look how they sing it. Drop the bomb in
it's
a cheery
very
way.
Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
A nice
so it
way. Maybe
it's pessimistic in like, when you look at it on paper. But I suppose when you hear it, it's all very...
The words are scary.
Very happy.
It's happy, scary. I suppose if the bomb is coming, why not sing to it?
Yeah, but they clearly haven't dropped it yet.
Not yet.
So it's like, go and fucking do it. I dare you. Drop the bomb. Yeah, but it is a good song.
Maybe they mean it's like a bath bomb from Lush. And they're in the bath and they're like, you know what? I need a bath bomb.
Yeah,
drop
it's
the
true.
Bomb.
It's just the youth of the apocalypse that
oh,
makes
yeah, there
me
is
think.
That. There is that.
That makes me fear the worst.
I don't even know, the apocalypse being the end of the world, so they would they even exist if it's the apocalypse?
Well, they want to maybe they want to bring out the apocalypse.
Okay.
They're the youth of the apocalypse. They're pro-apocalypse.
I see.
Pro-apocalyptic youth.
So they want their own demise then?
They do.
That's very dark now, that song.
Good tune, though.
Yeah, brilliant tune.
Shout out MF Doom.
Yes.
This is a pre-recorded show. I'm actually sitting here on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The show is obviously broadcast on a Wednesday. But I just warn you, this is a pre-record, so don't try and get in contact.
Well, you can, but we were not here. We're not here.
Yeah, exactly. Drop the bomb. I am currently in OC Island.
Oh, you are,
as this is being broadcast.
Watching gigs do a gig.
Watching gigs do a gig. Probably watching the House Gospel Choir right now, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Ray Black's going to come on soon.
Shoot. Early gig. 4 p.m. gig.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wish more gigs were like that.
This is true.
Nice.
But onto what's going on right now on FUBAR Radio. This is the Michael Payne Show. I'm obviously joined by my very, very esteemed co-host, Sarah DeBunda, a.k.a. Natalie. We're going to have the Brian Tyree Henry interview coming up.
Well, we haven't talked about this before on the show because we didn't know it was going to happen. So on last week's show, it was still kind of, is it happening or not?
It was all very cloaked in mystery, wasn't it? We didn't know whether it was going to happen or not, but I can confirm that it is indeed going to happen. Brian Tyree Henry came in to chat to me last week, and we had an extensive conversation.
A lovely chat. He loved
really
it too.
Chat. Yeah, absolutely. You'll see that from the, you'll hear that from the interview. We've also got Marks coming in as a guest, and Ikes is going to be my special guest co-host, coming in to hold it down for me for the next, I don't know, hour and a half.
Yeah, soon as so we're going to get into Brian straight away, and then we'll be joined by Ikes.
We
I
are.
Hopefully.
We can't wait any longer. This is the interview that I did with Atlanta's Alfred Paperboy Miles, better known, or actually probably not as well known, as Brian Tyree Henry.
Yeah.
I'm here right now with possibly one of my favourite on-screen actors of the last year. The closest is dead.
Who's that?
I don't even know how to link.
James Gandolfini. I've started. I've told you this many times. I've started watching
The Sopranos again,
After years and years and years, and I absolutely love
it
James Gandolfini.
It's amazing.
I can't even believe I'm saying this, man.
Don't make it weird.
Okay. Do you know what? All right. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Brian Tyree Henry, and I play Alfred Paperboy Miles on the show Atlanta.
And I'm doing gun fingers
he's like,
right
blah,
now.
Blah, blah, blah. Right. I'm like, all right. I love it.
Do you know why? I fell into broadcasting, really and truly. I'm an MC, and I came and I did an interview on this very station, and they just never, ever got rid of me.
That's kind of, that's dope, man.
And I've got a lot of broadcaster friends that have been doing this shit for years,
dude, man,
and have never got to interview their favorite actor. Do you know what I mean? So
I'm really your favorite actor of the past year.
Honestly, man, like Atlanta is my shit.
Okay.
Natalie's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
It
oh,
is,
man.
It's brilliant.
We've had a lot of chats about it in the pub next door, like going through our favorite scenes, our favorite episodes, and kind of dissecting it. That's how much we love it.
That is, that's the dopest shit I've heard.
Honestly,
since I've been here.
So like, we're going to talk about it with you.
Let's go.
But just talk about you as well, you know?
Okay.
Because there's a lot that Atlanta brought up for me about you. You know, you just research someone, you become a fan of someone, you want to do a bit of research.
Sure.
And there's a lot I didn't know at first, you know? So yeah, let's talk about you. You're an accomplished actor. Like, you're certified by Morehouse, Yale, right?
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of stage, a lot of theatre stuff.
Yeah, just finished one,
But came onto my radar as a TV actor. You know, what is your favorite kind of style of drama?
The one that pays the most. Like, I don't know, man. It's all about content. It's all about the stories that I'm able to tell and, like, what's out there and, like, you know, stages. You know, it's been around for a long time. So a lot of the stories are, you know, pretty much already there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more contemporary writers coming out that I admire and love, but stage is hard, man. Like, it's really hard. I just finished doing a play on Broadway called Lobby Hero.
Congratulations
you,
on the Tony nomination.
Thanks,
as well.
Man. Yeah, and I just came off of that as well. So it's like, it's nice that I got recognition for that.
Mm.
You know, with Broadway being like the oldest form of, you know, like, I guess doing, you know, like celebrities come there and, you know, people
of
are
course.
Made big from there. So it was nice to go back because, you know, I did Book of Mormon. I originated that first, and then that was a musical, but to go back to a play, that was like, whew, okay, good. All right, like back on the boards again. But
that's a problem for me, can I just say, because I never got to see Book of Mormon. Such was the success of it in this country that I never could get a ticket.
Yeah, because it's still here, right?
It is,
here.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's still here.
It's mental.
It's just like unbelievable, man. But then, you know, doing TV, I never expected for this to be my first major thing, like to right off the bat get a character like Alfred and be able to go in, you know, like I went to college in Atlanta and this is literally where I became who I was, who I am, you know, like I discovered acting and theater down there when I was 18 and from the years 18 to 22, that's who I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is who I am. But when I saw that there was a show coming out called Atlanta that was so quintessentially black, I was like, I gotta do this, man. Yeah. And I never thought that the opportunity to play somebody like Alfred would ever present itself to be on TV, let alone reach this far.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let alone reach this far where people actually related with this dude and actually cared about this dude and actually, like, kind of saw, you know, the kind of stuff I was putting into him. It just means, it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And then that allowed for all this other crazy shit to open up, because like I've got like 8 movies coming out this year where I'm playing 8 different kind of people as well, and it's like
you're genuinely answering all my questions. Oh, okay. That's a wrap.
I don't mean to take a job from you, man. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't mind it, but you know, food bars is shit. But you know, it's been wild, man. I've been doing this for 11 years now, so it's really nice to be a part of the number, no matter how old I am or how young I am. Like, I'm able to go out there and crank out something new and fresh that people like.
I love the fact that you've touched on absolutely everything I was about to fucking say, man. But the relatability is the thing for me, you know. That's the thing that I kind of have to start my interjection with. And every single aspect of being black has been portrayed for me, but it hasn't been done in a way where, like, pastiche. It seems so fucking authentic, and the, like, you know, the comedic situations happen in such an authentic way. But then there's this aspect of surrealism in it as well. Yeah. But then the thing is, even that surrealism for me is an aspect of life. Some surreal shit happens, but people don't think that surreal shit happens to black people because of the way that black people have been portrayed in every other fucking movie. Anything. They just think all it involves is shooting, getting shot at, rapping, fucking bitches, doing drugs in some form, being involved in it, but nothing surreal ever happens. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I made it a point in my mind, like, as I was at Yale studying, you know, like, there weren't a lot of parts for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was like, I would reserve myself to be like, I was like, if somebody approaches me and asks me to be a fucking slave, I swear to God, I will commit arson on every fucking thing they own. I don't care. I literally thought about being an arsonist. I was like, let somebody come to me with some shit like that. I don't
honestly.
Care.
Honestly.
You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I think that's a big testament to Donald and to Steven and even to our network, you know, to be willing to allow us to say the things we say, because, you know, I'm from the South. I'm from North Carolina, but I was also raised in D.C., and, you know, I was raising the projects as well, and, you know, like, I was below the poverty line and shit like that, and I noticed, like, to eat a Spam sandwich and, you know, fried bologna and cheese, and, like, you know, I know, we all know these things as black people, but I also know what it's like to be limited because of my skin color, you know, and there's no place more apparent than that than the entertainment field, you know what I mean? Like, there's no place more telling you no than the entertainment field. So when I got Atlanta, the one thing I remember thinking of when I saw Alfred, because I don't know if you noticed, I rarely call him Paperboy. Like, I was like, I don't really want to, like, just, like, diminutive, you know, make him that.
Of course, that's not what defines him, you know, like, you know, an MC.
Like, I was like, that's for everybody else, you know what I mean? That's the happening for everybody else. But the one thing I wanted to keep was his name and make sure that he knew who he was and to humanize him. And I remember reading the script, I was like, okay, I say nigga a lot. I say nigga a lot, great. And I remember going in there, I was like, what's my nigga limit? I need to know right now. Because I was like, I feel like he's going to, this is how he talks. This is what he knows. This is he shouldn't have to apologize for that. And FX was like, you go as much as you want to. And I was like, cool, that's great. I was like, can he have a blunt at the same time? Yeah. You know, like, this is who, like, what is great about our show, man, is that Atlanta is the fifth character. You know what I'm saying? Atlanta is the city that all this stuff takes place in. It's the birth of all of our friendships and, like, our families and things like that. And I just didn't want to lie on it. You know, like, I know for a fact that when I went back to shoot Atlanta, I remember, you know, there are so many scenes with my couch, you know what I mean? So that area that we're in is called The Bluff. There were times when we were filming over there this season that you could hear the gunshots. And I was like, all right, we're done for today, right? Like, we're done? I was like, because shit is real right now. Like, so, and I would point over to the street aside. I was like, yeah, I used to buy my weed over there, guys. So I think my homeboy's still over there if we want to roll over there. Before. It's so funny because I think you notice that Alfred, like, says a lot this season how he just wants to keep it real.
Yes.
You know, and wants to keep it real. And it's just like, what does that really mean? because now this season, you know, he's getting more notoriety as Paperboy. Like, he's from Atlanta. He's born and raised there. He's never left it. He knows every street. He knows every corner store. He knows, like, he knows everybody. Mm. But now they know him. So, like, there's nowhere really safe for him. Like, the episode where I'm getting mugged by my plug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, no, that single's going to do good. They ain't making no fucking money off of that, man. And he's like, but it's also like, Alfred, you can't keep doing the same things that you used to do anymore because now you are happening to people. Donald said this at a For Your Consideration Emmy event, man. It was one of the most prolific things I ever heard. He was like, well, yeah, now you are happening to people. People don't happen to you. You happen to them. And I was like, shit, man, like, that's exactly what this season is about. For Alfred, for me, man, like, I mean, like, when I first read it, I instantly knew who he was. Like, I just knew, like, how I wanted him to be, what I wanted his relationships to be with people. You know, I knew that he could be, is that your phone?
That is my phone.
There's some black shit right there. There's a rule in the studio that if that happens and it's not silent, you have to read out the text. Yeah.
I love this rule.
It's a WhatsApp, and it's from an artist I manage called Alana Verde, shameless plug.
Okay.
And she's replied saying, yes, I am, but I don't know if the person I invited is still coming with me now, and I don't really want to go on my own. Make of that what you will.
Could make a lot of out of that.
No, it was in relation to a music festival.
Sure it was. That's great. but like, yeah, man, I think that the one thing that we wanted the most is that it's so funny because they say it's a new comedy or it's a comedy coming from Fox or FX, and it's like, it's so much more than that. Like, yeah, I remember Donald saying he wanted to be like the Twin Peaks for rappers, and I was like, oh, fuck.
We've made that comparison.
Because it's absurd. Like, there are a lot of things that happen within that business and within that industry that are just so stupid and just so absurd, and I think that I love that it happens in Atlanta because that universe is like that.
Yeah.
That city is like that. We've excelled at, like, you know, like, when I went to college there, man, the music scene was off the chain. Like, I got to college in 2000, and that was like the jump off of Organized Noise. You know, Outkast had their albums. Lil Jon came out of nowhere. You know, Sleepy Brown, all these people. And that sound was just something that you just had never heard before.
This is true. And same then, over here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so then, like, if you go 10 years later, and now it's the land of film and television, and you're like, what the hell? And then you go a little later, and now trap music is like the thing. I'm like, what is going on in Atlanta? Like, I never thought the Migos or 21 Savage, you know, or anything like that would ever blow up the way it did. But it is that place, man. And so I think what's great about what we do on this show is that we try to capture all that. I mean, like, the authenticity of that city is something that we try to hold up to, because you could never hold your head up again if you went to Atlanta doing a show called Atlanta and Atlanta thought you were whack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd be ran out of the town, you know?
It's incredible. It opens my eyes on so many levels because I think of it, and you know, you described it as a black show, and it's black to the extras. Do you know what I mean? And it makes me think there are so many talented actors out there, or are they just real people that you've got as extras? What? How did you find so many people that can play a very small role in an episode but be so memorable?
Well, the stories are real, you know what I mean? Like, there's one scene this season. I don't know. Am I spoiling stuff? I don't know.
No, not for me. I don't give a shit about anyone else personally.
I don't know how to do
this, you know what I mean?
Man.
I forgot anyone was even listening.
I don't want to be out here, because in the States, if I did this, they would be at my door like, what the fuck have you done? So I'm trying to make sure that. But there's an episode called Champagne Poppy this season, where Van is trying, and her homegirls are trying to meet Drake.
Seen that one.
And so
yeah.
They're trying to get to Drake. And there's a scene, and it's one of my favorite, like, I die laughing every single fucking time, where she is sitting across from that white woman who was dating the black dude who is a black actor, and she's just going in being like, we ain't got all the opportunities in the world, bitch. I can't believe that you got, like, it's the funny, but it's real.
Yeah.
What she's saying is real.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's what's so great about our show, is that I feel like, you know, these situations that you all are witnessing are things that we, as the actors in real life, are witnessing too.
Yeah.
It's not like we, regardless of the success of the show, we still have to walk this world as black people
no
too.
Punches.
Like, there's no territory that we can't hold sacred, because, like, we walk it too.
Yeah.
You know, there's no kind of, and I think that's the greatest thing about it, is that we want everybody to know that these stories are theirs too. You know, my demographic is very, very, very wide. I will get older white women who, like, have pearls, and, like, their great grandchildren are trust fund babies who are probably, like, in the White House and shit. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, do you know that Paperboy is our favorite character? Like, that moment that you just, like, I'm like, excuse me? Like, are you sure that you, and it happens all the time, man. And for me, that's a testament to a show that kind of transcends what people may think it should be. Like, we've created this weird kind of, like, I call it like the Aurora Borealis of shows. Like, it's this phenomenon that happens every once in a while, and but you stare at it and you gaze at it, you know it's amazing.
Honestly.
But you just don't know, like, who it's going to affect and who it's going to touch.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful to even be sitting here across with the two of you. Like, it, the fact that over here, it, that it's held in and with this preciousness of the authenticity, like, that makes me, it lets me know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to
do. Yeah.
Centrifugal force, you got caught. Convict monotonous, a verdict thoughtless as you read it out loud. At least I was being relatively honest. Standing in your office, trying to speak to some anacondas, eking solace from the sawdust while your doppelganger stands topless. No one notices they got their own dramas. Dramaramas, melodramas.
You draw commas on the eyes of Madonnas
and wonder why you can't turn traumas into nirvana.
Your head up, still run with these young bucks, still running on jet fuel, still pimping on what was I thinking? I wasn't, what am I drinking? I'm buzzing, speaking the weekends, I used to fuck with your cousin, I used to rap about nothing, now I rap about nothing, but that nothing was something that ain't nobody was bumping, see I still got it boo boo, just the dad'll do you, wonders if you don't wanna be under some gross dude, but most girls will do it just for a corner seat at Nobu, I bet your daughter's perfect, he say it like he know you, my daughter isn't living yet at Water Village, idiot. Their flow's dumb, but that royalty's the silliest out there.
Someone tell these niggas I ain't fucking around. Fly them all to Vegas, man, we hold it down. Living for the present, nigga, we fuck futures. Sipping on some whiskey, these bitches drinking kombucha. Recession means more oppression, these niggas will shoot ya. Rio de Janeiro, these bitches looking like Shusha. Talk with anacondas, at least I'm being honest. I'm trying to turn these Kiki Palmers into baby mamas. Baby mama, I'm your baby mama. Man, let your boy drown, they ain't save me mama. They ain't save me mama. And save me mama, sell a pillow for that new week.
I hope the answer to this is going to be yes. Is it going to be like your Curbed or your Seinfeld? Is there going to be... Oh, can we hope for like numerous episodes, like, even if it's over the course of 10 fucking years?
I feel like people want to make it something precious, and that is where the trap happens, because it's like the comparisons are always to white shows, which is something that I find very interesting, because there hasn't been anything really like our dynamic done in the way that it's done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I hope so.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that at the end of the day, it's like a character study for people to be like, there are things that I did this season that I still can't believe. Like, Barbershop, I can't.
Possibly my favorite episode.
I can't believe that I had to do that. I really, let me tell you something. Like, our writers are beasts. Like, I love every single one of them. And Stephanie Robinson wrote most of my individual episodes this season. So, okay. Barbershop and then Woods, which is incredibly personal.
Yeah.
She wrote those. She's a master at what's on the page is really like what you see, but you can weave in between those things and explore. You know, like, I think that all of us have a great handle on who our characters are, but like, don't forget that we had a year off before we came back to season two, and I remember thinking, who the fuck is Alfred? Like, where is Alfred now? Like, what's going on? Like, how does he dress? Like, does he still smoke this kind of cigarette? Like, what is he doing? You know?
This is true.
And you kind of get, you kind of can get in a trap about it, but our writers, man, they go for it. Like, they go for it, and they listen to you, and they see what you're doing. Like, nothing is sacred. Like, there'll be things that I'll do that I think aren't on camera, and then I'll see the episode. I'm like, they fucking kept that? Are you serious? But when she did Barbershop, I just remember thinking, I was like, so I can't slap him or anything. You know, I was like, so I can't. She's like, no. I was like, but he's literally making me go around this town with half a haircut, and I know this nigga. I've known him forever, and you're telling me that I can't put my hands on him. And she's like, no. And then I was like, cool. And then I go over her head and I go to Donald. I'm like, Donald, seriously, I can't slap this dude? He's like, no, you can't. Because, like, that's the thing. It's like, this season was about restraint for a paperboy. You know what I mean? Like, you are already on probation. You already have shot somebody. You've done all these things. You got off, and now your career has become this thing. So it's not just about you anymore. And I think that's the thing that kind of hurts him a little bit, because, like, he literally knows that based on the success of what he does, some people won't. They're dependent on him to eat.
Yeah.
They're dependent on him to you know if the roof is going to be over their head. They're dependent on him to, you know, really, like, make their lives a lot better. And that's a lot for him to deal with. But then again, if you're working with your cousin who's not making sure that that's actually happening for you, then what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. So I feel like this season we get a lot deeper into the relationships of who all of us are in comparison to each other. And most of that happens with us spending a lot of time apart. That was something that was really interesting this season. I was like, where is Darius? You know, like, I was looking to my left and right. I was like, where is my home? Like, where's my homie at? Like, where's Darius? And also, I don't know if you noticed this season that I spent a lot of time in the passenger seat. Like, I'm not driving anywhere. Yes. Most of the time. And every time that I'm in the passenger seat, shit goes left. It always goes wrong. And I was like, ah, right, Alfred. Like, you have to make sure that you are the one that actually drives you where you need to go. Yeah. You know, so there's so many, like, hidden.
There are. I was just about to say that. So much subversive commentary.
And I'm in the show, bro, and I still am recognizing stuff that I didn't even, like. It's amazing. It's a testament, I think, to just the creative genius that is Donald Glover and his brother Steven. Like, and it's amazing just the abandon that we as the actors have to just go in and be like, you know what, I feel like he's going this way. I feel like he's going that way. And it's great. It has to be the feeling that they had, honestly, when they realized that Seinfeld was something that was going to be dope. You know, like, even with Cosmo fucking coming through the door and, like, you know, like, I'm sure that that's something that they all discovered while being there. And it kind of feels like that.
That's,
you know?
That is, you know, it's poignant that you should mention the fact that the comparisons are always white. Yeah. And for me, that's both a fact and a problem, but it's something that is also the fact that we're comparing a show with a predominantly black cast to a show that was circumstantially as well as deservedly one of the best sitcoms of all time.
I've never watched these shows, like, ever.
Fair.
Like, I've never seen Friends. I've never seen Seinfeld. I never gave a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, they don't reflect the... It was like, after I said that about Seinfeld, what was that sound that just happened?
That was Seinfeld. I feel like
I just conjured some shit that just, but, you know, it wasn't my demographic kind of like, you know, I grew up on Martin and Living Single and A Different World and, like, you know, those kind of characters like that. But I understand that it's place and time. I understand exactly.
Absolutely,
like what,
yeah.
You
being
know.
From London, the only black shows that we had over here, especially being a poor family, we didn't really have Sky and we didn't have access to international shows.
Yeah.
So we a lot of the time it was like a show called Desmond's, which was about a barber shop. Mm-hmm. The funny scenarios that happened there.
Sure.
There was a show called The Real McCoy, which ran for a few years, which was a show about. It was a black sketch show with an all black and Indian cast. Yeah. So
you know, I
we
grew
had
up
those,
on
but
this
not
show,
really.
Are You Being Served? I remember thinking about Are You Being Served and like, you know, like just the kind of like malleable, kind of slapsticky, kind of like, you know how these characters are so unapologetically who they are, no matter how fucking awful and miserable they are as people, just how they like lay it out in that way, like, you know, and that's another thing, like British humor to me is like, I that's where I learned a lot of like, you know, when you see the deadpans of Alfred and when you see how he can't say anything, I learned it from watching you guys, honestly, and especially like black people, black Brits, because I'm like, God, the things that you must not be able to say when you are in situations, but everything is, can be proper, but at the same time, there is so much underneath that that is so palpable that it's like, this person's going to strangle that dude. Like, it's so amazing how you all do it.
Yeah,
here.
Black Brits are quite unique,
I mean,
in that
it's
respect.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? And so like, I just remember like watching a lot of shows here as a kid, you know, like, because we had this thing called Public Broadcast Station, so PBS, you know what I mean? So we would get a lot of, you know, British comedies and things like that, and I would just study and be like, how the fuck, like, I remember my mother would come in and she's like, oh, you watching that highbrow shit again? I'm like, I was like, is it highbrow, Mom? I was like, is it really? Because they're really, like, letting each other have it on here. I don't know. But, yeah, man, I'm really grateful to be a part of something like that right now because, you know, there if you blink on our show, you may miss something.
Yes,
you
know what I mean? Fact.
I just realized yesterday, because I try not to watch this episode often because it creeps me the fuck out, but Teddy Perkins, and like literally I didn't realize that when Keith walks through the door that Teddy is standing by the door the whole time. Like, the whole time Teddy is standing in the shadows. So when you when he walks through that door and you see that door close, it's because Teddy closed it. And so then Teddy comes out of the shadow. And
I need to go back and watch that episode.
Like,
I never
please go back and watch that moment where Keith, like, Darius walks through
first
the door.
First walks in, yeah.
First walks in. Teddy is always by the door. Like, he's literally standing in the shadow. And I saw this with headphones on. Don't ever watch this episode with headphones on, mind you. And I literally threw my iPad across the room. I was like, fuck that. Nope. I was like, nope. I was like, that is ridiculous.
That is the creepiest episode.
But that's the testament also to our director. Like, Hero, man, Hero can capture some things that just, like, you just didn't even know would be happening. Like, you know, like a lot of the finale is improv, you know, like that moment when we're on the couch and we're trying to get him to smoke. That's improv. Like, Hero will just let the camera roll.
Okay.
And you don't even know that he's like doing that. And you just like, but it's the essence of who these characters are. We tend to forget that the camera's there and we're just going and we're just like having these conversations that need to be had. And like, even when I'm holding Lottie, whenever I get to hold that child, that's not in the script,
right?
You know, it's just like, okay, well, give her to me. She wants to, like, you know, come to me. It changes like even, everything.
Yeah, she's really good as well, because
she's,
I know,
amazing.
She does not acknowledge the camera at all.
This little girl,
that's the thing,
is
that
amazing.
Always gave the crew away, the baby. Traditionally, when I watch sitcoms, the baby was always looking at some shit that shouldn't have been going on, really, you know.
Yeah,
but she's really
she's
good.
Amazing, man. Like, there's a scene like when I'm moving, like her grabbing my like my dartboard. That was dangerous. Like, I had so many things packed in there that were dangerous, you know what I mean? But she was having a little bit of a tantrum, and for some reason, like, when it's me, she'll listen to me. So, like, I'll be like, go in that box over there. Lottie, what you got over there? Like, look in there. And I'm like, oh, it's dart. She's fine. She's good with the dart. She's good. Like, it's all good. You know, and it's, like, that kind of thing. And like, we've created that kind of environment on this set. Like, I, like, literally just reconnected with them a week ago for the For You consideration, and I just hadn't realized how long it had been since I'd seen them all together. So, like, I'm standing in between Donald and Keith, and, like, we're doing our own separate interviews, and I'm just, like, talking, and both of my hands reach out, and I just caress the back of their heads, because I'm like, I'm sorry, I just haven't touched them. Like, I was like, I miss them so much.
Yeah,
because
you've all starburst and done incredibly. Damn. Would you say it's as a result of Atlanta? Because
I would have to say yes, because I don't think that the exposure of us would have had such an impact to make people open their eyes to what we could do.
Yeah, and especially, exactly, because I was going to say, especially the caliber of things that you're getting, you're not being typecast. Like, you're in like, what,
10 fucking films.
I know. We're
I love that people add
it, yeah.
add numbers to it every time. I was great. And like somebody was like, "You're in 23 films." Like, sure, like, all right. But like, no, but like then, some of the caliber of the directors. Like, when I finally got to work with Steve McQueen, I was like, right. Steve McQueen is wanting me to come up in here and like, you know, sitting across from Daniel Kaluuya, who like I'm a huge fan of, and he's like, "But bro, I'm like, I love your shit." I'm like, "Really?" It's been a testament to what Atlanta has done, because I don't think any of these academies or any of these people who, I don't think that anybody knew that something like this could exist. And you know, look, I'm the uncle of like 12 kids. Like, you know, I come from a pretty, I don't want to say big family, but you know, I'm the baby boy of four older sisters. So like, you know.
Well, I'm the second oldest of four sisters.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, no brothers, just
sisters. Man, listen, and I'm telling you that these women are the hardest audience in the world. And
to
like,
please, yeah, that's what like, I think as hardest, well. Like, if you
and
can
we've always
them,
been
you
different.
Can
we've always dressed the way we dress. Yeah. We've always been the ones, and they're just like, nigga, you ain't doing nothing special. You know, like they will keep your ass in check. So
absolutely.
Hard,
I'm glad
man.
I never had brothers. Brothers will just back you blindly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is my little brother.
Yeah,
who's rapping.
Right.
If you're shit and you've got nothing but sisters, they'll just start leaving CVs. Yo,
man.
I mean, job applications on your bed.
Like,
and
I remember when I went to Yale and like I didn't come out right away acting, because it doesn't just fucking work like that. Mm. Like, oh, you get out of Yale School of Drama, now I'm not going to bust out into a goddamn Spielberg movie. But my sister's like, so you got a Yale degree and you ain't like doing nothing? I'm like, like, fuck you. Because it's like, and I hope they can hear this over there. Like, I swear to God, I hope this reaches over there. But that humbles you, man. Like, it really does. And so,
sisters definitely.
They definitely, but like, you know, I have these nieces and nephews that I'm very close to. And like, to watch them kind of watch this, for them to have a show like this in their generation. Means a lot to me, and to know that I'm the one that's a part of it, it means a lot to me that they have this kind of representation.
Yeah, it means a lot to me. Do you know what I mean? I'm from clean across the Atlantic, and like, there are so many, like I said, you know, the barbershop thing, like, there are so many things in my lifestyle as a young black man living in a city that are just parallels, man. Like, just direct parallels.
Because what's it like to get
so
an edge up over here, man? Like, how was the barbershop?
It's interesting. A lot of the time, people aren't in the barbers for a haircut, even. Right. They're just there to talk politics.
Yes, that's exactly.
You know,
just
like in America, it's like our country club.
Good.
You know, we sit there and we talk everything from religion to fucking politics to sports.
Good.
You know, most people aren't getting a haircut. Okay. You know? Sometimes I've had a barber start to cut my hair and then have a little intermission for some food. And I'm not talking about a snack. I'm talking about hard
like a
food,
whole
like
plate,
proper
like a
West
plate.
African
food.
You use your fingers for. I'm not lying to you, bro.
That's
this is
great.
Why the surrealism in something like Atlanta. It's not surreal to me.
Yeah.
It's like this shit.
It's home in a bit.
You know?
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, I swear to God, I'll never forget the funniest call that I got from, like, I think, you know, one of the producers. They were like, "Yeah, we just want to know, you know, your character smokes. So, do you know how to roll a blunt?" I'm like, "Excuse me? Like, do you know how to roll a blunt?" I was like, "A blunt? Is that what you want to know?" And she's like, "Yeah." I was like, "First of all, is this entrapment?" And I was like, "Because if I answer this, will I still have my job?" And she's like, "You're fine." I was like, "Well, yes, I know." And I was like, "Make sure they're swishers. Thank you." But it's like that kind of thing, man.
Yes.
Like, it's so gratifying to know, like, sitting here in front of you, my brother, like you are your family.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's good to know that it does this, and it's good to know that it does this with you, you know. Like, it's good to know that there's a show out there that is doing this, and we're gonna continue to do this.
Good.
For season
season three is coming, man, confirmed, coming out on Fox. And if you thought you knew something about it, you don't know anything at all, because we don't know yet either. So but just go along with us, you know.
So excited about it.
Before season three,
season two airs in the UK on Fox every Sunday.
At
10 p.m.
Watch it, for God's sake. Watch it twice.
No, you will fucking have to. I'm telling you, there are so many things.
You are going to have to.
Like the TLC thing.
Yeah, man.
You know, minor things. I'm not going to give any spoilers out.
That's a spoiler.
But, you know, the TLC thing.
Yeah.
You know? And that episode with the. In fact, let's
let's
turn the mics off. I have so many more questions.
There's more questions, but they'll all be spoilers.
Honestly.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us,
anytime,
man.
Anytime, man.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you. From
I will happily catch a ride out for you guys.
Brilliant.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah. picking out my fro with my fist comb. I got a tab at the stone, baby, this long. My little brother was having a little trouble. I hope that he doesn't care that it's in this song. Koreatown lunch and talking about how to run things. He said Atlanta wanted something. Waka G's in your future got the streets locked down. Copycats making sure Tip keep that crown. I'm fucking around with the truth. Went to see the roots. Quest brought me back on stage in a suit. I wear it hard cause niggas say that I'm soft. Even Black thought I'm aiming a little hard. I gotta be honest. Feeling like the other stuff is kinda behind us. Making jokes here and there, then got us some dollars. Trying to show the whole world what it is and it ain't a game. He said, homie, stay the course, ain't shit changed. Weird night and everybody was tipsy. Hanging out with Questlove, reminiscing about Whitney. He like, man, we can't even make it to 50. That reminds me, I sent a long text message to my mom and pop. I got the same speech when I left 30 Rock. My mom like, why you wanna leave a good job? My dad like, do your thing, boy, don't stop. Shout out to my nigga Lou, shout out to my nigga Swank for hanging at the crib and telling me what you think. Speak from your heart and never compromise what you feel's real. And never let these white people tell you how to feel. Never let anybody tell you how to feel. I wanted what they had back in the fourth grade. Family vacays, you know I did it all. Just to see my little sis by a waterfall. My great granddad bought his own freedom. Walked barefoot to Virginia to start his own peanut farm. So don't be alarmed, man, I'm royalty. Jam of the week, V103. No cosign, no bovine. More swag pulled back on the punchlines. Starving, every track means lunchtime. I'm a star, how could I not shine? Fuck boys, chase hype and scrap chicks. And niggas who stop texting after 1.6. DG lover ain't nothing to fuck with. D-Money ain't nothing to fuck with. And what's a leader if he isn't reluctant? Too bad for y'all, I'm blasting off. I'm not Asher Roth, I don't sleep on my bread. Dick right, stay close, I might flash a ball. Sometimes all the shit make a nigga feel guilty. I used to sleep with them roaches. Back on my mind, oh, I hope show gets canceled. Maybe then I can focus. Hawaii touchdown, go ahead, baby, put your shades on. East side to the gravestone. Brown liquor, but my girl in Bed-Stuy. Nigga, you got drive like a sale at Best Buy. Hold up, we can do better. Put my voice on the trap, man, this shit is much wetter. At the studio at 8 a.m. Hit the booth and eat, nigga, we ain't them. Nigga, we ain't them. Drop a line at your Facebook status. If this shit about a week ago, you still mad at us. If there's something on your chest, nigga, let it out. Cause I'm the best, da-da-da.
That's We Ain't Them by Childish Gambino. And that just kind of concludes the Brian Tyree Henry interview. As you can, as you heard, we went on for ages, and we could have gone on for much longer.
A lot longer. We definitely could have got 2 hours with him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we all were sad to wrap that interview, mm-hmm.
But we realised that we do have a 2-hour show, so
yeah,
you know, we could have gone 4 fucking hours, and
yeah, it's true.
Would have had to oust Callum McSwiggan.
He would have to have gone. Yeah. Well, last week when we recorded it, we could see that Harriet, because it was on a Thursday when we recorded it. That if it was not for Harriet Rose being live at 4, we would have been there till probably 8 o'clock, wouldn't
we? Exactly.
Just chatting.
Exactly.
But
no, we wouldn't really have done
next
that.
Next time he's in the country, though, mm-hmm. he will be back.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, if you're just tuning in now and you missed that interview, then make sure you download the podcast. You can get to that from fubarradio.com or iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And watch Atlanta on Fox Sundays at 10 p.m.
Indeed.
And do
indeed.
Watch it twice, for sure.
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Need to.
There will be, excuse me, there will be shock, there will be awe, laughter in abundance. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I need to watch it again because some of the things he brought up in that interview, I was like, I didn't even know. You said the same thing. You didn't notice that about Teddy Perkins opening the door. We didn't notice that.
True. That's a teaser for you, not a spoiler.
Yes.
And speaking of laughter, though, you see my segue.
I loved it.
Right. You told me that we've got a competition going
on
right now.
2 pairs of tickets. So to clarify that, it's 4 tickets in total.
4 tickets in total.
You have to check these things because people often go, "How many is that?" And it's 2 each.
Mm-hmm.
2 and 2 equals 4.
Mm-hmm.
Pairs.
Yep. To get to Laughter's gig, her headline gig.
First headline gig.
First ever headline gig. At on June the 25th at Camden Assembly, which is the former Barfly, in case any of you have been under a rock since they changed names.
Which I was. I didn't know that.
So
I still call it the Barfly.
There you go. Make sure you go to... Don't go to the Camden Assembly and think that you've got lost.
Yeah. Don't do that. What's Monday the 25th?
Monday the 25th.
This Monday coming. So
June.
Yeah.
You can follow FUBAR at FUBAR Radio to win. Just all you have to do is retweet the tweet that we are. Have we tweeted
it? It's going to go out right now as we're speaking.
It's going out right now as we speak. Magic. It's like in the future. because this is a pre-recorded
That's
show.
Weird, but it's we mental. Love laughter. She's a friend of. Can we say that? I think we can say that. She's a friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Like Absolutely. She's been in. She's co-hosted. She's always welcome back here. We yes. always support her. So go and see her because she's
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Well, win tickets. Actually, you don't have to pay.
Exactly.
Win
you,
tickets.
You won't even have to pay. You and a pal. You and your best pal. Or you and your worst enemy could. If you're setting them up. If you want to just get them out to Camden and you know get them kidnapped.
Yeah,
we don't condone that. But
don't
we just
tell
want
us.
You to win these tickets.
Don't tell
us
if you've done that.
Yeah.
Or you could just go with someone you don't like to get in there and then just ditch them and just go off
this
the other
is
side
true.
Of the room.
Yeah, take two friends, one you love and one you hate. Tell them you've got three tickets.
Yeah.
And then when lo and behold, when they get to the door, you've only got two and you just take in the one you actually like.
Yeah, or if you're deciding if you've got two friends that you're not sure which is going to be your best friend, this is a good way to decide. Tell them both
yeah.
and then you can break it to them on the door. Sorry, actually, you are my best friend. Yeah. You're my second best friend. Go home.
Say if, one of them, say if like, they both hate you, though, and they're like, can we just have the tickets and we'll go in together?
What do you do then? You find
give
a new
the
best
tickets.
Friend. No,
give
you
the
have
tickets.
To find
you're gonna have time. You're in the queue at the gig.
Oh,
make or break
yeah.
now. I'd just
oh,
give them the
God.
Tickets and be like, boy, you know, you got me.
It was their plan all along.
Yeah.
They knew this.
I'm going to go and enter another competition now and get some new friends in the meantime. I'll show you.
What's the opposite to laughter? Cry.
Radiohead. I'm going to get tickets to a Radiohead gig.
Oh, yeah, you won't be laughing there, will you?
Exactly. We're going to have Ikes coming in to join us as our special guest co-host. And
yep.
we also still have Margs. Coming up, and we've got a game for him
have,
as well.
I have
we?
Got a game for him, which involves local phrases and dialects. So there's a teaser for you. So I
okay.
hope you know when you're.
Well, you've usually got. There's a method behind. There's method to the madness. Wait, what's the?
What's his track? His track that he's coming to promote is called "Where I'm From."
Yeah.
So that's obviously why.
Of course.
Dialects.
Right.
So think about that.
Okay.
And I've given you a heads up because you can do some research between now and the time that he comes in. He can't. He's going to be surprised.
This is true. That said, I am all knowing, so I'm not going
to
need
true.
To.
You don't need to
we're
do
like I'm on a pub quiz champion.
Not
team.
Tonight, you're not.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's true.
Moving on.
Yeah.
A deaf cat.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's the obvious segue.
Has been a psychic in training for the World Cup. Achilles the cat, who lives in St. Petersburg Hermitage Museum, is in training for the World Cup with hopes of becoming the new Paul the Octopus. You remember Paul?
Paul was at the last World Cup, and I can't remember how. It's obviously something to do with his tentacles, right?
It was something
as to how
his
he predicted who would win.
I think he'd maybe point to them or something, maybe.
Right, and he was accurate, if I'm not mistaken.
I heard he was.
Yeah.
Achilles, dressed in a red football top, trains by looking at a chart of the teams and game schedules before moving on to an exercise wheel. Achilles previously predicted outcomes during the 2017 Confederations Cup by choosing between two bowls with the team flags on them. He will make his World Cup predictions in the same way on the morning of each game. Achilles has big shoes to fill after the 2010 World Cup animal psychic Paul the Octopus, don't know what relation he has to shoes, who guessed the outcome of Germany's games and picked the eventual winners, Spain.
Oh, that's who I've got in an office sweepstake that I don't care about, really, because I've got South Korea and, well, I'm sure they're great, and Spain.
South Korea, you know,
I call them
I
West
can't
Korea,
expect
so.
Them. West Korea.
I got it wrong. I said West Korea. But
amazing.
There's got to be a West Korea, isn't there?
No, I don't think there is.
Okay.
So. When Achilles isn't training, he enjoys kicking balls around the corridors and posing for photos. In his first prediction of the championship, choosing between Russia and Saudi Arabia, Achilles sided with his house team, despite a bit of hesitation. This provided to be a wise choice, as Russia ended up beating Saudi Arabia 5-0, which is the biggest victory so far.
Sure, but who's betting against Russia? I'd like to live. So
yeah, this cat
who's
knows.
Going like,
he's like, look, I've only got 9 lives left.
I think exactly, and I don't want all 9 of them gone. Like, even Saudi Arabia, I'm not saying that there was a fix in the game, but, you know, if I'm playing Russia, I'm going to... Oh, I've missed the ball. Sorry, I can't get another
Russia
goal.
Russia will take all those 9 lives away from
They're
this
gone.
Cat as well.
They're gone.
In one fell swoop. Museum veterinarian Anna Kondratieva said that Achilles loves his motherland and couldn't vote otherwise.
Again, not allowed to, are you? It's Putin all the way. I don't think you can do a
she
second.
She said that in his ear when
yeah,
she
yeah,
said Achilles loves his
loves
motherland.
Loves Putin. So my thing here is, so there's a cat that lives in a museum. Cool. Like, why? Do cats live in museums? Is that a thing?
Well, I think, you know, she seems to live in the museum.
Achilles?
No.
Anna?
Anna, yeah. Yeah, she. It says
she's
here she's the museum veterinarian.
What museums would need a veterinarian?
Museums with a cat.
Just one cat that lives there. And also, my other thing was, what's an exercise wheel? Is it like what the thing
like
in the hamster cage?
Yeah, I think
cats
so.
On a, the cat is on a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
To predict. I'm sure
there's got
to
be easier ways in 2018.
RSPCA might want to know about that. You can't put a cat on a hamster
wheel.
They've got
no jurisdiction in Russia.
Oh, that's true. They're like, we are the RSPCA. They're the law. They do what they like. Our cats will like it too.
The cat looks so, like, serious, though, as well.
It's terrifying. Look at the eyes. That's a hostage situation with that cat.
The cat looks serious as fuck.
Would you not like to be seriously posing for photos and in a T-shirt that's too small for you? Blink one for yes, Achilles. Because you know it's going to. I feel bad for that cat.
I do. I think it's just because I can't see his ears.
Oh, apparently there are 30 cats in that museum. They're there to catch mice.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, I don't want to go there. If it's that you need how many mice do you have? You need 30 cats. That's
must
a lot.
A big. It must be a fuck off museum.
That's a lot. It's a lot of. There's too many cats in one place. I don't.
No, but it must be a huge building, though.
I hope so.
Some people have like 4 cats in their home.
And that's too many, though. Unless you've got like a 10-bedroom house. 4.
Yeah, I know people cats have got will be loads everywhere. Of cats. I don't like cats personally. I don't mind them, but they're not. You know, I wouldn't have one.
Right. Hair will be 4 cats. You'll be covered in cat hair.
I'd die quickly.
Well, yeah, you would. You'd be getting on that hamster wheel straight away, like Achilles has. A good name, though. I like the name Achilles.
I do like the name Achilles.
Well, let's hope that Achilles wins.
I wonder what the other names of the 29 other cats are.
What would be some other one? What's Achilles from? Achilles.
He's Greek mythology.
Greek, isn't it? Yeah.
Greek mythology. So maybe Hercules.
Pythagoras.
Well, he was Greek, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, Pythagoras, was he Greek?
Don't know, yeah, I feel I'm like sure he was
Greek.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like he was Greek too.
What's the Achilles? Is Achilles' heel though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is the way it comes from with the Greek.
Because he was shot in the arrow, weren't he?
In the heel.
Shot in the arrow. He was shot with an arrow. Shot in that famous body part, the arrow.
Yeah.
He was shot with a heel.
Also, Achilles' heel being a top loader song that I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's, it's also very. It's also symbolic for a weakness, isn't it?
Yeah, if somebody was to say, I found their Achilles heel, yeah. it's their spot where they can get to them.
Absolutely.
Like, I know there is a former member of staff here who was an assistant producer on this show who was very confident until you said, oh, my God, stop being so cocky. And that would be it. I found it in him. That word would trigger something in him.
Amazing.
Because clearly someone must have said it to him at some point before.
Yeah.
And so suddenly he's just like, no. And then I do remember he'd go outside and it'd be like something from Heartbreak High. Or, you know, one of those teen soaps where I'd have to go and join him on the balcony. We'd have a heart-to-heart about why he's not actually cocky.
Amazing.
Except when you find the Achilles with somebody, you can use it to your advantage when they're annoying you.
Yeah, absolutely. Achilles heels are great.
What's yours? Just so I know.
I was just about to tell you as well. The conversation was flowing, so my Achilles heel. Good conversation.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, you can find out anything you want about me as long as the conversation's flowing.
Damn it, I could have actually got it from you as well. I was going to swap you with mine.
Go on, and what is yours?
Mine would be if you said, well, no, mine would be any critique on my hair. That will send me off. I'm going to go and jump off about
it. Well, you've always got strong hair looks, so.
Thank you. Mine would be if you went, your roots need doing. I'd be like, oh my God.
Oh, really?
I'd be like,
but what if your hairdresser said that?
No, she does text me to say, I think you need to come and see me. Your hair's got in touch and says,
why are you watching me?
What's your one?
My Achilles heel. I think it's. I don't know.
I think
I might be superhuman.
No.
We've just got a picture of.
The cat on the wheel.
The cat on the right, on the wheel. Yeah.
The cat that's on the wheel should say it looks like it's hissing and terrified to be on a wheel, as I would be. So that, and it's 30 cats. No.
My turn.
No one wants to get on that wheel, that Russian wheel. Once you get on, you don't get off. Well, I can see through the glass that your co-host has arrived. So why don't we get into a song and then we'll get him into the studio?
Yeah, let's do that. It's FUBAR Radio.
Peace to Mr. Dan. We got another one. Hey, bounce, burn it through an ounce. Thumbing through finance, never miss a count. Tallying amounts, never had access to finer things until I took away the doubt. Hey, I made it out. Happy that my quality of life is just right. Still stand and fight, still man my plight. Never lose, scared of who? Yeah, right. Get out of your mind, get out of sight. Get like you came up on it. I'm like, because I never gave up on it. And now I'm traveling the world. Fans take pics and cop ticks. They saving up for us. I remember when nobody cared. We kept faith and plan for a lot of years. Invested blood, sweat, a lot of tears. Dang it, when I better get on. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Express through song. Feeling strong. Still pray for those that did me wrong. It's motivation whenever I perform. Cause I'm gone. Remember when my friends had jokes? Cause all I had was the quotes. I didn't have a record deal and going broke. Saving for the studio. They admitted I had talent, but making a career was the challenge. I had to find balance, a thin line between chasing the dream and reality. I learned in time. Quit looking for help and invest in self. The struggle alone is heartfelt. If you endured hate, you can't relate. You gotta go through struggle to be great. You gotta meet your fears to meet fate. And now they all light up when they see my face. My goals are so near, like when I get on, I'm outta here. I'm outta here, gone. Express through song, feeling strong. Still pray for those that did me wrong. It's motivation whenever I perform. Cause I'm gone.
That was a headbanger. Jesus Christ, Natalie.
I've picked him. Well,
yeah.
Mr. Dan, Guilty Simpson, I'm gone.
Yeah, massive tune, to be fair. I'm actually quite vexed that tune's so big because, personally, if I wasn't me and I was listening to that tune, I would just lock off the radio and just, like, just put that tune on repeat.
I wouldn't even listen
to the radio show
it's
anymore.
It's 3 minutes, but I could have done with being six. Yeah. I've been happy for that to be for another three.
Yeah, same. I'm happy to just, like, wrap up the show now.
No? All right. At 6 o'clock, we'll all go and listen to this on repeat.
Yeah, all right, cool. It would be rude because we have just invited a very special guest co-host into the studio and he's obliged us and we're very, very, very appreciative. It is, of course, Ikes.
I'm well.
Thanks for having me,
no,
man.
No, not at all. Yeah, good, thanks, man. This is obviously, as we've told people at the top of the show, this is a pre-recorded show because I'm currently on OC Island, so I'm very, very well, thank you.
Okay. So we're kind of here, but we're not here.
Yeah, exactly.
He's good today now, but he's better tomorrow when this is going
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely, in the future. Yes.
There you go.
But how are you, man? You've had a recent release, a recent return of sorts.
A return in what sense? In terms of just like getting music out there.
Yeah.
I think I've always been kind of. I don't know, bubbling and everything. But I just think with the emergence of social media and how that's kind of come on now.
Of course.
So it doesn't really matter where you are on this face of the earth, people will know what you're doing.
This is true.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because I've been around since before that era. Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you know what's funny, actually? Before we continue, you might not know this, but this is funny as fuck, right? So one time I was, I've told you this story. Mm-hmm. I was coming back from Cardiff one time. I had this gig. And, I was on the train coming back and a brethren of mine texted me and he was like, do you want to make a video? And I'm like, yeah, cool, that sounds like a good idea, innit? I am a rapper, I do have music, a video would be
100%.
Cool. I'm like, yeah, safe, like, yeah, let's talk about it sometime. Yeah. Bit random, but yeah, cool, safe. So he's like, no, I mean now, tonight. I'm like, well, again, like, what the fuck? Basically, what I want? He's like, basically, there's a rapper, Ikes, that we were meant to make a video for.
Okay.
And we've put together the whole video. We've got the set. We've got Nigerian aunties in rappers. This was years and years ago.
Wow.
Right? And they're like, basically he can't do the video for some reason. I don't know what happened after that, but
yeah,
they were like,
yeah,
he hasn't made it to the shoot. And they were like, we've got this whole set up. Now, I actually got a music video out of that. Genuinely, because they were pals of mine.
Nah, they're good people, but I just think at that time it was just a situation where, you know, the director and everyone around him kind of thought that their production was more important than the actual art and the artist.
Right, okay.
So it was a situation where I was like, it was like a ball. Let's say a big ball is rolling down the hill and I'm trying to stop it, like, no, this is not what I want.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, we're going to do it anyway.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
No, I hear that.
With or without, you were doing it anyway, you know? I hear that. You know, it's all love, you know?
Yeah, no, of course. At the end of the day, if the artistic visions don't match up,
it's best to not do it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But I just go for real. I know, tell me about it.
That's like 2011.
I think it was 2011.
Yeah.
7 years ago.
You're here together now.
We are,
united.
It's true. It's weird how the universe works in that sense. It really is.
That's crazy.
But you are obviously here, as we said before, you've got the return, you've got Paint Me Ugly.
Paint Me Ugly.
So tell us about that project.
I mean, the project is called Closure, and you know, it was basically me getting my closure on a previous relationship.
Yes, of course.
Because it was just a situation where when you're trying to get your closure and the dialogue, you're bumping heads, and I just don't think that even I was ready for that closure when I was trying to get it.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? But I think last year was very telling in terms of growth as not just an artist, but as a man and as a person, and that whole becoming and maturing into that, finding yourself. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't know, you know, when you've kind of got all the tools but you just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I found my calling in terms of, okay, what do I do with this lyrical content of mine? How can I use it to depict something that I'm really going through and to connect with people globally around the world? And I just found this topic and, you know, I just got all my feelings out.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like ashamed or scared about doing it. I mean, I was scared, because at the end of the day, I'm a rapper. We all meant to be hard, innit?
That is the popular misconception. And the operative word is misconception.
Yeah, it's a misconception.
I don't think we should have to be anything.
Right, really. So it was just about me rebranding what the modern man means, you know what I'm saying?
Because
I've got a lot of feedback, like DMs and crazy messages from guys as well as women saying that they felt exactly how I felt, and me, the content that I put out was like them speaking it in that. So I've made them feel more comfortable about making that sort of art.
Yeah.
You know, but don't get it twisted. Come up to me, I'll knock you out. I don't ever want to get that messed up.
I'm sensitive, but
yeah, I'm sensitive, but you know, I'm emotional, but don't try me.
One of those emotions is still anger.
Believe that. But yeah, so talking about Paint Me Ugly, that was just a part of, you know, the relationship that I felt was important in terms of, you know, when you've got another your other half and your partner, and she has her peoples, you've got your peoples, but it's kind of situation where we might get into a ruckus or a beef that might be temporary, but now you've gone and you've just poisoned everyone on your side, and now they think I'm just some bad person, do you know what I mean?
And they
come around me, and even though we're good now, they come around me, but the energy is off.
Yeah.
And I can tell you've told them something.
Yeah.
And now, because they love you and they're trying to protect you, they think they're helping you by not really showing me love, where, you know, where it's kind of like, you know, you have to, when two people are in a relationship, do you support the person or do you support the union?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Very good question.
Right. So,
and people have a habit of doing the former.
Right. Supporting the person.
Yeah. Whatever the person.
In the union.
Yeah.
If you support the union, that means you care about both entities and both parties in the union.
Yeah.
It's not just one person.
Yeah.
And it's not only one side to a story.
Absolutely.
It's three.
Yeah.
But that's my next single.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I've heard that so many times. In fact, it's a motto that I do live by. There are 100%. Three sides to every story. Mm-hmm. His side, her side, and the truth.
Right.
You know, their side, and the truth. Do you know what I mean? Because everybody has a natural bias.
100%. Mm-hmm. And that's my next single, actually, after Paint Me Ugly. Mm. It's called Three Sides.
There you go. And I'm glad someone's made a song out of it.
I literally depicted the whole thing. So, amazing. Like, it was a blessing for me because when I released it, it was just like a release for my soul, my spirit. And as I said, as like that growth in becoming a better person and a better human, man. I mean, at the end of the day, there was, I think in closure, there's a lot that you learn about yourself more so than even the other person. Mm. So I just think, you know, there was a lot that I learned. Yeah, it was therapy for me, man. So
yeah, I'm proud of it. Well, we should get into the song, Would you do us the honor of introducing it for us, Ikes?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So this is Ikes. It's my new single, Paint Me Ugly. And we're going to get it on now. Fubar Radio. Let's go.
Didn't even mean it like that. Why you see it like that? Why you be on my back? Why you wanna paint me ugly? I done told you over the phone. Told you when I go home. Even lower my tone. But you wanna paint me ugly.
How you gonna tell them that? How you gonna tell them that? But you don't say no facts. Nah, take that back. Nah, take that back. Nah, how you gonna tell them that? How you gonna tell them that? But you don't say no facts. Take that back, nah, take that back now.
I don't wanna leave no mess. I don't even need no sex. I don't wanna be no pest. But it's something that I need to address. Girl, you know the truth, it hurts. You're talking but I ain't impressed. Cause they're getting fed my worst. But do they ever hear my best?
No.
Times are changing. How you telling stories with some missing pages? This is so amazing. After fucking and the fornication, you were definitely in the corner shaking. I'm indefinitely motivated. You never seem to cover all the bases or uncover all your fucking faces. I took all our memories and I erased it straight.
Didn't mean it like that. Why you see it like that? Why you be on my back? Why you wanna pay me ugly? I done told you over the phone. Told you when I go home. Even lower my tone. But you wanna pay me ugly?
How you gonna tell them that? How you gonna tell them that? But you don't say no facts. Nah, take that back. Nah, take that back. Nah, how you gonna tell them that? How you gonna tell them that? But you don't say no facts. Take that back. Nah, take that back. Nah,
I know you don't want this smoke. No, you don't want this smoke. But it's about time I spoke. And about time you don't. Hold up. You tell them about the times you tried. And about the times you cried. But look me in my eyes. They'll never be on my side.
No.
Always got me out of context. Screenshotting all this nonsense. Call it love, though we got the content. On our way, just forgot the concept. More stress, now it's getting complex. Your best friends, damn yes, man. F them, man, maybe you too. Who knew one day I would lose you straight?
Didn't mean it like that. Why you see it like that? Why you be on my back? Why you wanna pay me ugly? I done told you over the phone. Told you when I go home. Even lower my tone. But you wanna pay me ugly?
How you gonna tell them that? How you gonna tell them that? But you don't say no facts. Nah, take that back. Nah, take that back. Nah, how you gonna tell them that? How you gonna tell them that? But you don't say no facts. Take that back. Nah, take that back. Now tell me what's up.
That's Paint Me Ugly by my very special guest co-host, Ikes. And that's from the project. That is from a wider project, isn't it?
Yeah. Closure. That's the project.
And you're enjoying, like, you know, loads of promo of this tune at the moment. And you said that coming up next is the...
Is the Free Sides. Yeah, following single, Free Sides. So we always try and do things like align, you know, that will align with the current thing. So whilst this single's going on, I've actually got like a, you know, the cover. I've got a cover out at the moment as well called TMI, Too Much Information.
Right.
You know, and that's I've used like the Drake record, Nice for What.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like made my own version of it. And that's kind of going, that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, I like that. That's a classic. That, you know, people don't do that enough anymore.
I know. I just think that, you know, once you've got, when you're still trying to, on a come up, you got to put out your own stuff, but you also got to, you know...
Yeah, absolutely. You got to show you're an artist, but you've got to show you're a rapping ass motherfucker.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? People have forgotten that. Like, I feel like when when we were coming up, because you obviously, like me, have been doing this for ages, way before social media. And back then, you're absolutely right. A lot of people erred on the side of being a rapper, so they would get an instrumental. There were a lot of instrumentals flying around those days, and not very many actual song crafted songs. But then when we kind of made the transition to realizing that, like, people want artists, people kind of forgot how to be rappers as well.
Yeah,
do you get? I feel like that is the that was a kind of general.
Well, that's because the industry isn't telling you to rap anymore.
This is true.
Like, the bar is so low as far as lyrical content goes.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not something you need, if it isn't a skill you require to be successful, and then people are just not going to do it because they're not really in this for the art. For the most part, it isn't, the rapping isn't what the passion is.
Yeah.
It's being successful and being in famous, the spotlight and being famous. It's the clout, you know what I'm saying? And some people just want to be hood famous. They just want to be, you know, sitting on the block with everyone knowing who they are. You know? They just want a million views. Yeah. Like, that for them is a Grammy.
It's true.
A million views on YouTube or on the Link Up or the Gram Daily. That's a Grammy to the new generation, do you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's all changed, man.
It has,
It's a new set of metrics.
It has, It's literally, it's been turned on its head.
It is, man.
It's been turned on its head.
But, you know, in the same way, it's such a gift and a curse, because it's like, it's made it a lot easier and a lot harder at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've always said, like, the way the industry is now is like, it's like, I mean, look at the way I'm holding my hand up. I mean, no disrespect, but it's like TK Maxx. You walk into TK Maxx and everything is just everywhere.
You got rummage. You got rummage.
Yeah. Like,
there's gems in there.
That's the
There's gems in there.
But be prepared to take a few hours out of your day to find it.
My sister loves TK Maxx. Like, you know, and you got, like, top brands next to Whatless brand. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you're right. Everything is next to everyone. And it takes that time to really go through it and find the gems.
No, that's a very good analogy.
That for me is what social media and the internet has made the music industry. So it's just like, for a fan, they're so inundated with all this material. They don't know what to listen to you know, there's no real quality
stuff that
control
they come across the most,
right?
It's the most common stuff,
right?
Visibility. Yes,
it's a visibility and attention game now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think from my perspective, when I, you know, not everybody, but for some PR companies, when you would get sent press releases, you know, years ago, it would be kind of like, this artist has come from this background or worked with this person. Now, you're right, it is, they've had this many streams on this many views on YouTube, this many followers on social media. That's what's kind of the lead of the leader now, rather than...
It's replaced records sold.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's all replaced records sold. Because with records sold, you can use that as a good metric, because people actually bought that shit.
Right.
People actually spent their hard-earned cash on that stuff. If you go views, anyone, like... If I'm online and I've seen that bare people I know have watched something, of course I'm going to fucking watch it, because I don't want FOMO.
Right.
I do not want FOMO. Right. I don't want to be sitting around with 10 of my brethren and not know what the fuck they're talking about. That is just like a basic rule of survival in social circles, isn't it?
Right.
Know what the
fuck
people are talking about so you can contribute. You understand?
Right.
You've not seen it the
weakest
link.
If you haven't, though, if you're in a social circle and someone says, have you seen it, and you haven't, do you go...
You quickly check it so you can join the discussion.
Or do
I don't
lie.
Do that.
Do you go, no, I haven't? Or you're
I'll be honest. I'll say, no, I haven't. But then, like, if so many people are talking about it, sometimes I can't resist the urge. They're just, why are they talking about this so much? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like I'm discerning enough a person to, like, if I do see it and I think it's trash, then I won't mention it anymore. Do you know what I mean? The buck will stop with me.
You're very honest, though, I would say. More than I'd say some other people are. And if you would come in here and if I mentioned, you go, fuck that person. Like, there's kind of like, there's no, like, you're honest about how you feel.
No, absolutely.
Filter.
There's
about
no grey area,
no filter.
Absolutely. If I don't want, for instance, someone on my show, then it will never be like a personal reason.
No.
Very rarely will it be a personal reason, but more time it would just be, I don't fuck with what they do. Like, sorry, I don't care. Do you know
But that's good, because I'd rather have that than somebody, at least I know if you're in the studio as a guest, you're very wanted, you're very approved by you, and that's a nice thing. Because, you know, it could be with a presenter who perhaps, you know, I don't know, but it would be like, I'll just take whoever, and then sits there, but it's not the same. It's more of a falseness, because they'll talk to anybody, whereas at least you're like,
But the
nah,
thing is, I'm also fair in that
I realise that it's reciprocated. Like, yeah. I understand it's not unilateral. People have to want to come and see me.
Yeah, true.
It shouldn't be a thing where
but
I'm
you're of the minority, just know that.
What do you mean?
In just in terms of the game, man. Like,
oh, seeing, but this, you know, there's always going to be, I realise that, I know so many people like me, which is nice, you know, but I realise that, yeah, you're right, it is a microcosm, isn't it?
Right.
It is a microcosm.
So maybe when you've seen or some interviews, when I've heard some and I feel like I'm not sure that presenter really knows anything about that person apart from the one-page press release I just read. Yeah,
and I think we're in an era now where it's so easy to find out what you need to find out about that artist that's coming before they comes.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's so easy.
Too true.
Twitter, there's Instagram. In 5 minutes, you can know everything.
Yeah.
You can know what they ate yesterday for dinner. Like, you can know what they like. True. You can watch their IG story. You can watch their Snapchat. You can know everything.
You can know more about the artist than the artist knows about themselves all the time.
But it's also okay, I think, when a guest comes in not to know everything, because otherwise that makes a really boring interview. It's okay to ask a question and or say I don't know, tell me about that artist,
it would be quite funny to go on a show and for the host to be just like, so you just released this project, you're from this place, you're this year's old, okay, cheers mate, bye.
Yeah, right. They knew everything.
It'd be like, this is your life, isn't
it? I think it's okay for, you know, if someone was to come in here and you were to say, oh, who are you enjoying at the moment, Ike, and you were like, you mentioned an artist that we weren't familiar with, I think what we'd go, oh, I don't know that person, tell me about it. I want to know, I want the knowledge. But then not everyone perhaps would do that. It might be like, oh yeah, they're cool, and then move on.
I think this is the difference. And this is what this kind of TK Maxx culture
thing, coined.
I'm definitely going to go forth with that coin. Do you know what I mean? You've coined it now. It's TK Maxx culture.
Max culture.
You know, only place you'll see like Ralph Lauren and Armani next to Slazenger. You know, it's like the only retail experience those two things would be touching. Yeah, you know,
I don't want that to change. I want that to be there for a long time.
I think it's great for garments. You know, it's fun. But you're absolutely right.
For music,
when it comes to art, everybody, yes, of course, should have their chance to express themselves, but I think that
the most valuable art needs to be in the Louvre.
Yes.
It's that simple. Do you see what I'm saying? But it isn't like, it's not based on merit, real merit, is it?
It's true.
Like, it's kind of like, you ain't got Usain Bolt's running in the local park because they can.
I wish that would be amazing. Because imagine being in the park and seeing Usain Bolt
faster
running
Usain Bolt.
Past
there you go. You know,
amazing.
Like, because they can run faster, you get to the main stage, and that's how it should be. You know,
you're absolutely right.
But
you're,
it's a subjective culture, so you know, who am I to say what's good and what isn't? You know,
and
it's my opinion.
The youth drive it as well, don't they?
There you
and
go.
They have
there
very different experiences. And it's so easy to kind of become the older generation, isn't it? Like, in mentality, and go, you know, I don't understand this, and kind of, you know, like, denigrate it and just kind of dismiss it.
Yeah.
You know, but then I sit back and I realise that, yeah, you know, the youth, they just... Life is way different for them
than
it was for us at the same time. And I feel like maybe sometimes the zeitgeist informs your taste as well, you know?
No, it does. Yeah.
I think.
But you don't have to go out looking. You don't have to go anywhere to look for music, where you would have done when you're younger, which is to go out to a record shop and to go and find
stuff.
That's
an investment, though.
Right.
Like, do you know what I'm saying?
And now you sit at home on your laptop,
right,
and you can find everything, but you don't have the same. It's quite nice when you used to find something, or an album, or a song, or an artist,
go,
and be like,
right,
oh my God, these are amazing.
Yeah.
I do like some of the. I like being a host on this show, because, you know, it has to be known, it has to be said that I don't pick the playlist of this show. A lot of the time, it will be, and a lot of the time it'll be songs that I've never heard before, and I welcome new material.
That's
I
dope.
Welcome
yeah.
good. But so Natalie is in essence my tastemaker. She curates, you know, the music that I'm a captive audience. As well, because, you know, I have to be here for 2 hours every Wednesday.
So you actually are captive. I close the door when a song's
genuinely captive audience. You know, you see me at the window sometimes, you know, when it's steamed up.
Yeah, please.
See my handprints.
No, but I like it, because when you like music, there is joy on your face, I think.
Absolutely.
When you hear a song that you like, whether it's from lots of different genres, whether we're in here or we're doing the pub quiz next door and some disco or indie song comes on. Like, honestly, you're just like...
Listen,
it's
weird. I was sitting in a restaurant with a friend, close friend, the other day, and we were waiting for some food, and in the restaurant they were playing music. It wasn't that loud, but it was very audible. You know, it was very audible, but it wasn't like, you know, too loud for a restaurant.
And I was like, I was bopping my head, and I was like drumming the like, you know, on my thighs and tapping my feet and stuff. And then I looked around, and the restaurant was full. This restaurant seats about 100 people.
Yeah.
And the restaurant was full, and I realized that not one other person was bopping their head so much as tapping a finger.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said to my regular, like, we must be like. We that happens must to be me a lot. Minority of people that genuinely like music sometimes. Because I've realised that people slot music into their lives and that they will only kind of tap to music at a gig or when they're listening to it at home. But we were just sitting in this restaurant and basically going quite nuts.
Bro, you could be,
I can imagine that
you
too.
Could be in a gym and everyone has headphones on.
Yeah.
But I'm the only one dancing. What are you guys listening to? You guys listen to audiobooks or something?
I was going to say probably podcasts.
What are you listening to?
Probably podcasts. What was the song though that you were going nuts to in the restaurant?
The funniest thing is I don't think I even knew the song.
Okay.
I didn't even know the song. To be fair, it helped that we were high as fuck.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it.
Okay,
yeah.
You missed that part.
Yeah, yeah. All right. It helped that we were high as fuck. But like I said, it helped.
It probably was just a waiter singing, and you were like, "Yeah, it's the tune."
You know, but that's another thing about being stoned. Anything sounds good.
Right. Yeah,
that's
music just sounds so much better when you're stoned, and that's why I wish whenever I'm a music manager, and I play a lot of my artist's music to people, and I always wish that I could get them stoned. People,
it sounds different. Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember the last Wiz Khalifa project.
Mm.
Like I was like one evening, this was sometime late last year, and it sounded, it was a whole
honestly,
different experience
because
I was high.
Oh. Well, I don't know if anyone's high now, but should we get into a song and see how it sounds?
I am definitely high now, and yes, we should.
Shit. Let me tell you what you do, you teach, say you ain't shit. Hack up in her IG, get up in her email. Find some minute on the home of that bitch. Get an 8-ball up in the phone of that bitch. You better double that shit and make 100 right back. It ought to be illegal making money like this. So it is what everybody say, I can't tell. Yeah, I we had a thing for the Army Hammer. 40 niggas was ain't thinking about a lot of love bank here. Nigga, all balls and roll. With a snub, no shout like Buzz Ball. Don't try one, can't take six of us. Plus you might get shot, no fisticuffs. King of real life, trying to tell my lights cut off. Life fucked off. Today in the Rick, kept me in mind. Ducked off. Somewhere on Biscayne, riding the limbo. Abracadabra, imagine like we at Orlando. Hey, where your bitch go? And where her pants go? Turn her around, automatic Mando. If her feet fucked up, hanging out her sandals. On that mob shit, like Marlon Brando. Smoking weed, trapping, standing under the lamppost. For real, all a nigga ever done. We come up on a bad, turn around and get another one. Then how I came up on a bunch of money. And a bunch of motherfuckers trying to find a way to get it from me. Yeah. Avoid the renting, proceed to rampage. Nowadays, you nigga be so goddamn fake. And I can't stand things that are pretending. Hear you speak, it's so condescending. I say, fuck that white. With your diamonds in it, trying to turn myself into a monument. Stimulate the economy, buy Rolls Royce and hold your horse. Nigga talk loud, but got no voice. Better fall in line and leave no choice. And I ain't finna play about it. And really all the nigga care to say about it.
Bus. Dedicated to all the buses. We just bussin'. T.I.P. R.A.P. ATL to Raleigh, North Carolina. But I was born and raised in Snow Hill, 252, Green County, all day, where I'm from, some niggas do die, some women do bust, everybody got fire. I ain't never done street shit, just too fly. To get down, lay down, boy, I'm way too wide. Hood divide, I seen the lies, seen the drugs, seen the love, all of it here for pride. Used to date drug dealing in my past life. Dream, boom, farm, smoke, just the past night. Potential bigger than a monument. Real nigga look up to me, honestly. In my old whip, that old shit, the 95. I used to 95 whip back in 99. I had a real job for I could legally drive, return, pushing a kick-ass ride. Bustin' rhymes, bustin' rhymes, bustin' nines. Y'all doing that, y'all is why. Tell your child they ain't gotta walk or run the mile. We ran the course, he hawk style. Tip him back, the tip of that, I tip him over. He dead, yeah, I know. A motherfucker should know I'm Noah. Ha ha, big boat, bitch, look, I can walk on water, I care to say, I care about y'all. Care about love, care about God. Carry the cross, don't get carried away. Over carry the flaws, motherfucker, they don't care about us. Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, Mike Tyson, I punch him out. Motherfucker, what happened here? Tip, rap, killin'. Motherfucker, back, high.
featuring Rhapsody. Care to say?
I've just forgotten what it's called. But it's from Rapture. It's from the soundtrack of Rapture, the new Netflix show about a hip-hop artist.
Okay.
And it's a good one.
Because there's not enough of them.
Well, I know. There's none I can think of.
What Netflix shows about hip-hop artists?
But we've realised we were both like, that's the Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Yes, it was that. That was the sample.
Yes. It's good.
Big tune, that.
Big tune.
Should we get into the story?
Yeah.
You up for that, Ike?
Yeah, man.
We read very serious. Yeah, we read very serious reports.
Yeah, we need your take on the serious news stories of the day. Yeah,
let's do it. Let's
straight faces, everyone, please. A woman's husband likes her to leave fruit in her vagina all day so he can eat it. Like I said, we you know, serious stories.
Ooh. It is a big news story, to be fair.
It is. A woman on Reddit recently posted about a new sex fetish that she and her husband have been trying out. This involves her leaving food items such as apples, pears, and carrots in her vagina all day and then eating it from her vagina in the evening. This has been going on for about 2 months, and she had taken to Reddit to ask if this could make her or her husband ill. Although she clarified that all the foods were organic and washed, one commenter warned that this could lead to a potential infection because vegetables aren't meant to go inside the vaginas. Who knew?
I didn't until that moment. Yeah,
this
good
is
that
weird
I know.
Even for
it's
me.
Good
though.
That I know, right? It's like, good to know. Yo, education.
This is pushing the boundaries.
Another commenter, a doctor, suggested using something like a sex toy specifically designed for insertion. Other advice included wrapping the fruit in a barrier like a condom, or choosing fruits and vegetables with waxy skins that act as a barrier from the sugar entering the vagina. Yeah. The original poster said that the relationship had been rocky, and so her complying with her husband's fetishes was an attempt to spice it up again. How far would you go for your partner?
How far or how weird, yo? That's a whole different. That's a whole different
one in the
question.
Same in context. Okay, yeah. So how far would you go for, like, you know, when it comes to spicing things up, so to speak, in the bedroom? How far would you go?
But I don't know what the you know
doesn't
the
have to involve
is.
Fruit.
Okay,
in anything.
Right. I don't know what
doesn't
the spectrum is.
I'll tell you what. Turn the tables. If your other half said to you she wanted to put fruit in her vagina, what would your reaction
and
be?
She wanted to leave it there all day.
Yeah, just to fret, you know, get it nice and ripe.
Yeah, get it nice and ripe.
What would your reaction be? Would you be like, cool, like...
My first reaction or my second reaction? I think that's important.
I think the first reaction
is definitely a laugh.
Yeah.
Some kind of laugh. Laugh my arse off. No. Laugh my... fucking up.
LMFAO.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you gotta upgrade sometimes.
There you go. Then the second reaction is like, are you being serious? That's, you know, like, huh? Where did you see this? Which TV?
Reddit.
Right. I wanna know, like,
she read it on Reddit.
What you've been watching.
What?
I want to know if I need to cancel the Sky subscription because you've been watching too much late
get rid
night
of the TV.
Weird stuff.
You need to get rid of the whole TV, maybe.
That's hella weird.
But, so when it says... she's popped an apple, pear, and carrot. I presume not at the same time, but I don't know. If she has, then fair enough.
Maybe a carrot and two apples.
Maybe a couple, but then.
But why the vegetables? I mean, we're talking a little bit of cream. If we're talking.
We need carrots to be a bit soft. They're crunchy, aren't they? You need to soften them up a bit.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
Goodness.
And then eating. So when it says eating it from her vagina, does it mean that? Like they're having dinner.
Oh, is it protruding?
Like I don't know if they're like tucking in, like, or are they pulling it out and then cooking it, or are they eating?
Are they even cooking it? You can eat carrots raw.
It just says eating it from her vagina, so that implies that the husband's down there. Obviously, I can't think she can eat unless she's very flexible. I can't.
From what
she
I
can.
Understood, she was the one doing the eating.
No, it's what
she's,
it says.
She's
this involves,
eating her own goods.
It says, okay, so a new sex fetish that she and her husband have been trying out involved leaving food items.
This is true.
All
her
day.
Husband. Her
and
husband
then eating
would have
it.
To be involved, wouldn't he?
Well, she can't bend down and eat it from... I don't know. I don't think you can be that flexible. You can't eat it from your own vagina.
There was a rumour that Prince used to suck his own dick.
Well, that was... The rumour was that he'd had some ribs taken out in order to do it, right?
Yeah,
not
yeah,
that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe she
I feel
has.
Like she'd had some ribs taken out just to eat a dinner out of her own vagina. That's...
Or maybe
what
all
doctors
that,
are
if you're
proving
eating
that?
Anything, why a vegetable and carrots?
Right.
It's like, why all this savoury stuff?
I want
crunchy
a good steak.
As well.
Right.
I'd want a good steak. Oh,
like, come on, it's got to be a cheat meal down there. You know what I mean?
A cheat meal.
a cheat meal.
Got to be a cheat meal down there. Cheap. Some sugar.
Down, some Nutella involved.
Yeah, some Nutella, some donuts, some burgers.
Some,
you know, some fast
food.
Yeah,
it's true. No, it's true. It's true.
Right.
It's true. We're going to spice it up.
Because a pear, you know, a pear, you've got, that's hard. It's got the thing that sticks out the end. You've got to, like, no, get your hands on a pear.
Pears are sweet, though.
Yeah, pears are sweet, but think about how to eat it. You can't eat the pear as a whole, or the apple with the pips and stuff in. You've got to, I don't even know. Do you knife and fork
it?
I don't even know.
Is it eating it whilst it's still in the vajayjay?
That's what I'm saying. It says it. Eating it from her.
Oh. Damn.
Apparently the husband eats it. It's his fetish. She's just going along with it, and the fruit and veg are in pieces. Hopefully, we think
that's a big hole. That's a big hole.
How many? Also, that's that piece. No, jeez. I don't know about that. I think there's some other food items that would be more tempting than. Do you want a carrot? Do you want to come and have a carrot?
Yeah, carrot's so fucking boring.
Crunch. Yeah, it's true. So you might as well have gone for lettuce. Do you want some lettuce in there? No, I don't. It's the most boring thing
ever.
Let's
get some fucking cream cakes in
there. I just tell her to get ready for my aubergine.
I'm surprised they didn't put in there for comedic value.
You know what I mean?
At least.
For the veg you're going to need.
Wow.
Get a little eggplant in there.
Get ready for this aubergine, man. Chill.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I wonder what their health is like after that person said they're not meant to go there.
She must be super agile, because she's so agile because of all that fruit and veg and that she can bend down and eat fruit and veg from her own vagina.
She must work from home. You can't be at work all day with a carrot and pear in your vagina sat there at your desk. Ooh, can you?
That's true.
You can't be.
Can you?
I don't know. Right.
I wouldn't know.
I don't think so. No, I don't know. I can assure you, I don't know either. I can absolutely assure you about that. This isn't a secret. It's not me posting on Reddit, but that is an unusual one. Well, that's a
very
hot topic
unusual.
There.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that if you were going to put something, and let's not leave out men if you want to put something in your whatever, but maybe just do a nicer option than a carrot.
Yeah, be safe, whatever you do. Each to their own, but be safe.
No pineapple with skin on.
To each his own.
Let's get into another song, shall we, really quickly. We've only got like 25 minutes left of this show. Callum McSwiggan is up next, but it's a classic show, isn't it?
It is a classic show. It is actually a classic because he's not here either. So that's so it's all happening
classic
tomorrow.
Classic Callum, eh?
It's all happening.
Trust me. You know. It's love, you know. Trust me. Lock them off. It's all fun and games until you get blocked and beat.
Lock them off.
Trust me, fam. You know, the game is too big for their boots and they're too big and like, I don't know if they can talk about this.
It's true.
So my sound it. Yo. Are you ready, boy?
I get block and delete, block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and up. I said block and up, block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete, block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and delete.
Them girl there, I get, 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 them girl there, I get.
Delete. Man wanna try get rude. Delete. Get too big for the boost. Delete. Must have forgot who's who. Delete. Who's who? Long time no see. Delete. Call me when I'm asleep. Delete. Man wanna watch and breathe. Delete. Don't retweet my tweet. Block. Take 2 days to reply. Them things don't get a blight. I see rubbish on my timeline. Ask me if I've got a light. See me and don't say hi. Leave me and don't say bye. Try push back my hairline. Block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete. Block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and delete. I said block and delete. Block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete. Block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and delete. Delete. Spot me when your hands dry. Delete. Snapchatting your whole life. Delete. Try record me on the slide. Delete. I swear them man try par. Delete. Now they wanna see what I go on. Delete. Ain't got time for the fraud. Delete. Sorry I'm busy, get lost. Delete. Block, try overtake my lane. Block. Thinking this is a race. Block. Serve me with a screw face. Block. Why you always complain? Always want your own way. Don't tell me I've changed. Block. Don't tell me to behave. Block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete. Block and delete. Block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and up. I said block and up. Block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete. Block and delete. Block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and delete.
I get them, God, 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 I
block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete. Block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and delete. I said block and delete. Block and delete. Them man there, I get block and delete. Block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there, I get block and delete. Block and delete, them man there I get block and delete. Block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there I get block and delete. I said block and delete. Block and delete, them man there I get block and delete. Block and delete, block and delete. Them girl there I get block and delete.
Block and delete, block and delete. Them man there I get block and delete. That was a big tune.
Big tune,
very
harsh.
Big hook.
You don't like someone if you block and delete them.
This is very true.
Because you could just block, just delete them without blocking them.
No, because you've got to block them so they can't contact you.
Right, but then you delete them anyway.
You delete them.
Does that
so
means
you delete
they can contact you though?
They can't if you block them.
Oh, but if you delete them, then that's the whole contact gone, right? So then they can.
That's
so
the contact gone from your side.
Yeah, but that
if
means
you delete, if you block, they can't even contact you.
Yeah, but I thought block only worked if you kept them on your phone, so they know the number. If you've then deleted it, you've deleted the whole number. Therefore, I think
exactly.
They can contact you again.
No, they can't. They'd have to get a new number.
Okay.
If someone blocks and deletes you,
right?
Yeah.
If
say
no,
for
I
instance,
get block.
You've got my number.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you block my number, I can't contact you. If you delete my number, you can't contact
that's
me.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Erase
yeah.
Okay, all existence.
Ooh.
Feel
it's
me.
Harsh,
it is harsh. It is harsh. It's necessary.
Levels
sometimes.
Levels to this
though.
Blocking thing, you know.
Trust me.
Right. How many people have you both blocked and deleted?
Countless.
Really?
Countless.
Whoa.
Well, I don't know. Ooh.
Because a block is
one
quite
two,
good, isn't
one
it?
One or
but
two.
A full delete.
On, like across all social media platforms and
across
and
all social
WhatsApp
media.
And stuff.
No,
you don't
no,
even
no, no,
want,
no.
You don't even want to start with mute. You don't want to go mute. Few. You're going straight to block.
I've muted maybe one or two people.
I've muted one or two
yeah,
people.
Yeah, very, very few people. But blocking, oi. Oi. Trust me.
Yeah.
I've probably blocked a small country. A small country's worth of people.
I ain't blocked that many people.
Trust me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to get overzealous, then it's probably as easy as you're just going to get blocked.
Don't engage.
Yeah, that's
you
what it is. I don't. The thing is, when I block someone, it's not necessarily to do with feelings. I just don't want to see that. I know that you're going to be troublesome, and I'm just getting ahead of the curve right now. Sometimes blocking is preemptive.
Oh, okay.
For me.
But then they can see that you've blocked them, can't they? And then
not,
sometimes
well,
there's kind
I don't
of
care.
Sometimes
yeah,
that's the point.
That's exactly. Sometimes it's the point. Most times.
That's the point.
That's it. I very rarely block people that I see all the time because I think that's pointless.
It's kind of awkward though when people, and I know that sometimes it's been a situation, like for instance, on this very radio station where there's been guests coming in and they're like, oh, you've blocked me on Twitter. And it's like, whoa. Okay. I don't say, I'm
awkward.
Like, I've got nothing Obviously. To say. I'm just going to get some popcorn and watch what happens. Like, whoa, okay. And then the person generally, I think you would be more honest about this, Michael, but generally people go, oh, have I? It must have been something wrong with Twitter. That old excuse.
Yeah.
And like,
sure.
Twitter's gone funny, you know, it keeps blocking people. I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, fully. If I block someone, I'd fully tell them why.
Yeah, 100%. Say it with your chest.
Say it with your goddamn chest.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, I think we should play a game.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, we were supposed to have a guest in called Marks.
We were meant to have Marks in. That's long time brethren of mine.
Yeah.
But,
not that brethren.
Not the best timekeping skills.
No.
As is the case with many rappers.
A lot of rappers. Even when he was given like a 30-minute wrong warning from his own PR, because we all knew he was late. But he still was very late, and he's going to turn up in half an hour. But obviously, the show won't be on.
So that won't be very much.
But having said that, we had a nice game for him. I see no reason why we shouldn't still play it.
Yeah, man. Totally.
So his new track is called "Where I'm From."
Mm-hmm. Shout out Margs and shout out T.E. Dines, who's a former guest of ours.
Yeah.
Who features on that tune as well.
He turned up on time.
He did. Fucking rhythm that tune as well.
Right.
Just want to say.
So what I've got is some phrases. From around the UK, that kind of local phrases, local dialects, some slang you could say from outside the UK. I'm gonna ask you where they're from, and for a bonus point, also the meaning. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is called
"Where They Are From" with Michael Payne and Marks on Food Bar Radio.
Everybody getting money, getting busy. Where I'm from.
Not Marks.
That's
but you know, if
song.
He's outside now, he can just play out from the outside if he's hearing. Okay, so that's fine. If he could be listening in, because we're pre-recording. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, because obviously I'm not going to do the dialect. I've got some little clips with some like Siri type speak, and then you can just write down where from around the UK.
Okay.
You think they are from the?
Okay.
That's number one.
Amdrowkit.
Hey.
Amdrowkit.
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 I need to know what part of the UK.
Amdrowkit.
I will say actually
English?
For this one, I'm going to give you a clue. Some of them are cities within the UK, and some of them just a country.
Okay.
This one's a country.
Okay, cool.
Safe. And if you've got any idea, Amdrowkit, what that could mean. And if you need clues afterwards, I've just got famous people from that sort of area. Or country, as it goes. Amdrow Kit. Okay, we're ready for number two.
That gadgie's gan in proper raggy like.
That gadgie's gan in proper raggy like.
Yo,
that
gadgie's
gan in proper raggy like.
It's local dialect. This is from a city rather than from an entire country.
Can I get it one more time, please?
Mm-hmm.
That gadgie's gan in proper raggy like.
That wow. Gadgie's ganning proper.
Putting Siri to shame,
like.
Aren't ya?
Siri didn't know how to cope with this.
Right, exactly.
Okay. So it's a point for where you think it's from and what you think it might mean. That gadgie's ganning proper raggy like. That wasn't a clue on the accent. I don't know what I went into there. Okay, here's number three.
What's up with the baby? He won't stop scricking.
What's up with the baby? He won't stop scricking. This is from a city within the UK. I think you've. I feel confident about this one. You both look like you're furiously writing something down.
Right, how much I hate you for these questions. No,
yeah. Okay, this is number four.
Rad do huffy coffee.
I'm writing your ransom note.
That is Rad do un huffy coffee.
Oh wait, no.
That is from. It's got here. It's a country rather than a city.
Yo.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Rad do huffy coffee.
Okay, no. Number five is...
Cut wood in tub hole.
Yo.
Cut wood in tub hole.
Put wood into hoe.
Yeah, hole.
That sounds brutal.
Put a wood, a whole wood into a hole.
Don't put wood into a hoe.
Oh, right,
never
thinking,
call her a hoe either.
Oh.
It's wood into a hole, which still could be the same that a hoe would have a hole.
Put wood into a hole. Put wood into a hole. Oh, right.
This is from a city. And what does it mean? Which city? What does it mean?
Well, if I could. Lucky this is a non-censored show. I can definitely tell you what it means.
Do you know what it means? Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, I'm here and finally...
It's not from a city, apparently. I'm just seeing this. Look.
Either everything's wrong on the sheet because I've got it from a city here. Definitely not a country. But we're just going to go with what I've got on here, I think. I'll be better. Okay, so this is number six.
That's the badger.
That's the badger. Oh, now, that is from...
I've heard that before.
It's from a region, this one, rather than a city. So like
a
county, like a, you know, there could be an east or west or something of them, or of a region.
You just gave it away.
Or north, could be a north, could be a south.
Oh wait,
it's going to be one of the four.
It's
going to be one of those four. The badger. What does it mean?
That's the badger.
So do we want to run through some answers, or do you need any?
0 points.
No,
man.
Come on,
zero.
Wait, hey. Was this six questions?
Yo.
Have faith in yourself, Alex. Come on.
Was this six?
Six, yeah, six.
Okay, cool. All right. Can I have number five again, please?
Number five.
Cut wood in tub hole.
Can I have number two again, please?
Sure.
That gadgie's gan in proper raggy like.
Ah, oh, come on, man.
That gadgie's gone on proper raggy like.
Okay. You went into an accent there which may or may not be correct.
It was the accent based on what I think it is, but it was probably not a very good accent.
Okay. Do you want to... So number one was...
Amdrowkit.
Now, Michael Payne, this was from a whole country, apparently. The whole country says this term. What country is it, do you think?
Wales.
What do you think, Ike?
Scotland.
And what do you think it might mean? Amdrowkit.
Amdrowkit.
I thought it was that I'm thirsty.
Okay.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna agree with Ike's and think. Thirsty.
Thirsty.
I mean, okay. So you do get a point, Ike, because it is Scotland.
Come on.
But thirsty is not right. But it does involve being wet.
I'm wet.
Liquid. But not wet, like what, wetter like, than wet. If I'm fully, I'm
drenched.
No, oh, right. But along the same lines as that. If you came in and I'm drenched.
Soaked.
Yes, I'm soaked. I will give you a point for
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
I'm soaked.
How are you going to give him a point? He didn't
he
get
got
it.
He got it.
How did he get it? I got it based on a clue.
Yeah. I was helping you out too, but you got a legit answer, right?
So how many points if
you're
you get one
so far
there
now.
There are two up for grabs on each question.
Yeah, but you didn't get. Okay, so number two. What was number two? That Gadgie's getting proper Raji like.
I got Newcastle.
And where did you get it?
I got Liverpool.
Okay, you do get a point there. It's from Newcastle. But what do you think it means?
Someone's got a bad attitude.
Oh my God, yeah. That's what I thought as well.
When you... Okay, someone, be more specific.
That girl.
It's that man's having a temper tantrum. It's a man.
Shit, okay, cool.
That man is having a temper tantrum. That Gadgie's getting proper Raji-like. Okay, number three was, what's up with a baby? He won't stop skricking. Where's that from, Max?
See, I thought that was Newcastle.
Okay. Where did you think that was from?
Skricking threw me off. I'm going to cross out my original answer because I've just realised something. I'm going to go... Could you read it again, please?
What's up with a baby? He won't stop skricking.
I reckon Yorkshire.
I need a city.
Leeds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what do you think it means?
I thought it meant like he won't stop crying. A baby won't stop crying.
Okay, what did you think, Michael?
Yeah, I'm screaming. I've got, like, what's up with a baby? You won't stop screaming.
I'm going to give you 2 points because neither of you got it right. It's from Manchester, but you both got the baby won't stop crying. So points there, points
cool,
there.
Cool.
Okay, Rudd do in Coffee Coffee. Where's that from? This is a country, remember?
Wales.
Right, and what have you got?
Wales.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I did cross it out on Right Scotland. I'm not gonna lie, but Wales is still there. Wales is
but
still there.
But it's crossed out.
You crossed that.
No, I can't have that. But you get a point there because you don't have it crossed
that's
out.
So annoying.
Okay, and what does it mean?
Make me a coffee.
Okay, what do you think it means, Mike?
Say it again.
Rudu un hoffi coffee.
Rudu un hoffi coffee.
I mean, there's not a lot of clues there within those words.
Hoffi coffee.
I want a coffee.
Can I have a coffee, do you think?
Can I have a black coffee?
Can't give that either of you. I like coffee.
Sorry.
Put wood into hole. Where's that from? Which city?
Sheffield.
Is this may or may not be? Sheffield. What do you have?
Manchester, man.
Okay. You do get a point.
Ho ho!
So, and then what does it mean, though?
Put the wood in a hole.
No. Have a guess.
I thought it was like an intimate thing. Let's have sex or something.
Oh God, filthy minds around. It just says shut the door. That's all it means. Shut the door.
Put wood in the hole.
I don't know why the door is in a hole. I don't understand.
I get it.
It's a wooden door.
The doorway is the hole and the wood is the door.
What kind of chat
just fucking
like?
Say shut the door.
That would be a terrible chat up line though.
Well.
I'd like to have sex with you. Can I put wood into hole? Like that's like caveman type speed. That would be
ages.
Terrible.
Dark times, man.
That's like saying if you've had a few drinks and you're like, can I come out and put wood into hole?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
sure,
yeah,
okay, fine.
That sounds
not...
like the type of stuff that like people who still read like Reader's Wives say.
Yeah, that sounds like a saucy beginning of the story. Yeah. What, so here's the story of when wood I put wood into hole.
Yeah. It's such a dirty euphemism.
It's
worse than actually just going, can we fuck, please? Can I put my wood
it's
in
actually
your
worse it's than
actually
that.
Worse.
It's worse than that because it's less clear. You could be like, I don't know what you're trying to say. I feel like, am I got it wrong? Or do you mean shut the door? I don't know.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Shut
like
my door?
Shut
fridge. Your door?
You can close the fridge. There's a lot of stuff.
Anything
can
be a euphemism, really, can't
there you
it?
Go.
Can I close your fridge?
Can we shut the fridge?
I think so.
Can we do our tax return tonight, babes?
Can I do your tax return tonight?
I'll do your tax return, love.
Get real filthy in there. Get real filthy. You've got to open a window in there.
Even that, can I open the window?
No,
yes.
I'd open your windows anytime, babe. That sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I shut your window anytime, babe.
I'll close your window.
I'll smash your windows in.
Oh!
I just mean I'll burgle you.
That's what I'd hope you'd mean.
Home invasion. Home invasion.
Home invasion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, finally,
Getting
we had
creative.
And it is 4-3, so you could still win here.
Oh, shit,
you got
2
points. It was That's the Badger. What have you got for that?
Well, is this number 5?
6.
This is the last question.
Six. I thought it was from Essex.
Okay, and what did you have?
I've got Suffolk.
Okay, and what do you think it means? It's from the West Country, so no.
Okay, I reckon
neither.
It's like...
But what do you think it means?
Like dairy goes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, like that. Like, you're right.
There he goes.
You're spot on.
There he goes. You're right. No, I'm afraid no.
That's the badger.
That's the badger.
That's a culprit.
This is exactly what I need. Oh. That's the badger.
Yeah,
that
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. But that's I said spot on just a minute ago.
No, no, but it's not spot on. That's not what it... No, it isn't spot on. That's what I... This is exactly what I need is what's on the paper. Right. There's no spot on there at all.
He tried it.
How did I try it?
You've been doing that the whole game, bro. Yeah, you know what I mean? You got the technique.
Oh, my God. I don't understand how I tried it. I just said...
He's got the technique, man.
I know this now. I'm like, no, I'm not having the point for that. I used to be giving points out for everyone. I'd be like, no, hold on a minute. Everyone's cheating. Everyone's crossing things out.
Amazing.
However, you still have one. You got 3 points. Like, it's Michael Payne, 4 points. So it's still a win.
Anyway,
still
a win.
Still a little win.
So where was it from, the That's the Badger? Where is it from?
From the West Country, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's fine. Well, that's nice. Shall we get into a very...
Yes, Moy Lover, which is also from the West Country.
Short little song.
Zeno Records. I see you looking fly today. I see you shining, eh? Shout out to my hustlers that grind all day. I see you shining, eh? I smell that gelato from a mile away. I see you shining, eh? I'll still be a legend if I die today. I see you shining, eh?
I got packs on the trolley, this rap shit's a hobby. I got hairs, but I still catch me a buddy. The streets know me for getting pee. My daughter had her first rollie when she was free, I caught a little case, that's a slight loss. Caught my lawyers like Harvey and Mike Ross. And me and Scraps couldn't give a fuck about rap. Even though we're nice, we're just always in the trap. I stay strapped like some Lesbos. Find my only talk packs on the Encros. When you was inside watching Netflix, I was in the crop house wiring electric. Me and Streets rep the churches like a pope. Trying to impress bitches that'll turn a nigga pro. These chicks be obsessed with my P. I just hit, then I'm gone into the M-I-S to the T. It's nice.
I see you looking fly today. I see you shining, eh? Shout out to my hustlers that grind all day. I see you shining, eh? I smell that gelato from a mile away. I see you shining, eh? I'll still be a legend if I die today. I see you shining, eh?
I went LV and got dressed today. Did the same thing yesterday. I'm in the newest Jag when I come through. About to call my man, look at T12. Don't talk money if it's less than a mil. Free hydro, hope he gets his appeal. Told my ex-chick that we never could choke. I got more bitches than Corella DeVille. Might see me in Dubai with W. When I'm getting high in the W. Oh, I'm in Brom with some trap stars. I ain't on tour yet, but he packs up. Feeling like I'm about to levitate. For me and Two Bad smoking wedding cake. Would start chilling on the block 10 years from now. Still bangers will still be on top. It's nice.
I see you looking fly today. I see you shining, eh? Shout out to my hustlers that grind all day. I see you shining, eh? I smell that gelato from a mile away. I see you shining, eh? I'll still be a legend if I die today. I see you shining, eh?
Now, so I see you shining by Nines. Have you ever seen his short film, Crop Circle, Axe?
I have. What did really you think enjoyed of it?
Me
I
too,
really
right?
enjoyed it.
Me too.
I thought it was really good.
I loved it, mate. Like, my favourite scene was when the guy owes him money, so he takes his bird. Literally, like, not his girlfriend. Like,
the bird in the cage.
It's like a cockatoo or something. Yeah. He just takes it. It's a hood film, right? Yeah. But it's got surreal moments in it that could rival Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, it is incredible. If you do anything, like, you know, after you listen to this show, watch Crop Circle by Nines. I'm pretty sure it's still on
YouTube.
It
did feel like it was like it wasn't complete though. Like, it's going to be a part 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah, I do hope there are, because it's fucking brilliant. And, you know, I heard it's written by Nines, directed. Him. And the Crop Circle was real. You know, he had artwork for the album as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cover was a crop circle with a diamond. That crop circle was real. They really did make a diamond in a field of wheat or something in Scotland.
Yeah, probably
the same field that Theresa May ran through, which would be
the wheat field. She
symbolic,
loved them.
Yeah, running but through fields of wheat.
Crop circles are made by aliens, though, aren't they?
That's what they say. That's what Mel Gibson thinks.
They just appear.
Is it Mel Gibson in science?
Yeah, it is. And Joaquin Phoenix.
He believes a lot of strange things.
He does.
So
but in the West Country, that's where the crop circles generally appeared.
Well, aliens love the West Country then.
I don't know why. They're very hospitable down there.
It's the accents.
Yeah.
They feel it. Imagine if aliens just had West Country accents.
That'd be amazing. Dorset. Hello, I'd like to come to.
All right, my lover, I'm just going to leave this here.
I think.
Go back to my planet.
If you go to the West Country, and I haven't been there a lot, I feel like they'd get annoyed by going, all right, my lover. Like that. I don't think anyone says that there. I think that's what we do, they? I don't know.
I had a tattoo artist who's from the West Country as recently as 5 years ago who told me that's. He's the one who told me. I never knew about that phrase.
I swear to God, I'd never heard that phrase.
But this guy told me about that phrase, so I don't care. I'm using it.
Okay, because we say, like, I would say Dorset, Somerset, but I know it's Somerset.
Somerset.
Dorset.
Have you ever been to Somerset?
I've never been to Somerset. I've never been there. No.
But you know what to say when you go there
you
now.
Do.
Don't call it Dorset.
All right, my lover.
Somerset.
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 Okay. Contact all your local agents. Tell them to book me. Yeah. I'm coming for a show in Somerset.
Sounds like we're talking in slow motion.
Okay.
And when you talk, you gotta act like you gotta do a cow chewing grass movement as well. Somerset.
Yeah. You gotta roll your whole jaw.
Can you roll your R's?
Rah.
I can't do that.
Can you not roll it?
Sound like you're
using mouthwash.
What? I can't do that. Can you do that?
Roll your tongue.
No, yeah. Say something with a rolling R.
Like a rolling R, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Why can't I do it? I need to go to a class and learn this.
It's just making it vibrate right there.
Can't do it.
Mental.
It's a skill, and I don't have it, sadly.
It is indeed. Well, that kind of brings us up to very close to the end of the show now, doesn't it? Thank you so much for joining us, Ikes.
Pleasure. Had a great time.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, man. I'm hoping that you'll come through at some point in the near future.
100%, man.
And guest co-host for a whole show, one where we can actually broadcast live.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sounds amazing.
Well, thanks also, even though he's probably back in America now, but we loved him. Brian Tyree Henry
from Atlanta, our special guest. And even though he never came through in the end, shout out to Muggs because he inspired a game.
It was a good game.
Big up Mark just because he's our regent as well. shout out to his manager Herbs as well.
Is there anyone else you'd like to shout out that hasn't been on the show today?
Callum McSwiggan, because although he hasn't been on the show, he's coming up next.
It's true.
Who else can I shout out?
Anyone you want to shout out that you haven't met?
Yeah.
Let's treat this like old school radio. Take a minute to shout people out that you may not even know, you just like.
Yeah.
Never met them.
Yeah.
Could be someone, don't even have to be well known, could be someone from...
Can I shout out Michael Jackson?
Sure. Shout out Michael Jackson.
Janet Jackson, I'd like to shout out.
Yeah, I want to say rest in peace to XXXTentacion that was shot dead last night in Miami. Only 20 years old, young, really gifted, talented, creative. Gone too soon, man. So I want to shout him out and tell him rest in perfect peace, man. That's someone that I was really listening to when I was in a dark place sometime last year, man. So, like, yeah, that's really affected me a lot this morning.
Right, I'm sure you've seen all the controversy surrounding it as
Yeah.
I'm staying out of it because...
No, I haven't yet. Well, this morning I didn't see any.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
This is why I stayed silent for that
Fine.
One.
Fine, yes. Okay.
But, This is TK Maxx.
Well, let's go and have a rummage in TK Maxx.
Let's go and have a rummage.
We'll see you next week.
You're gonna do that. Move me. Never said that you would do that. No. Outside, baby, come and look into my eyes. Yeah, I know the feeling is right.
girl, I just need you tonight, need you tonight. Baby girl, you're coming around, I know you're staying around because you never wanna leave. Bomber clock, and then I go in and out, and then I hear your sound saying I'm everything you need. Ooh yeah, you wanna know where we can go, all the way to Fernando. You wanna be my Nintendo, but you gotta know I don't play no games.
Everything I say is true. I'd be a mess here without you, and I hold you down. You don't need to stress, so let me just lay upon your chest.
She making me weak check, grind the check, raise the check and got the lighter check. Roll the weed and let me smoke the cess, and you can lay upon my chest. She making me weak check, grind the check. Raise the check and got the light at check. Roll the weed and let me smoke this and you can lay up on my chest. Yeah.
Don't know. Looking like you care what you came for. Tell me what you want, is it me though? Love it when you watch how my weed smoke. So live, I don't feel me. And you best pick it up when I FaceTime, cause you know that you're all mine. Oh, I'm rolling my car, come on, baby.